जयं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान् अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान् भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंतकोटि वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त बृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनामाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवा श्रीमद्भागवदाघ्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथेमदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशवा भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोर्सव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादितरद चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितगैरवोत्रपरमो नर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनि कृते किं वा परेश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यमरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणान् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबदभागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमा यं प्रव्रजन्तं हनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकातरमाजुहावां पुत्रेति तन्महृदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिर्षतां तमोन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननिन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भतां मुरारे मधुरीं न कणिकापि कापि कापि नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷാശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമത് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമേ കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, on the 1st of January, when we completed the last talk on the Bhagavatam, Krishna's childhood pastimes, we just started discussing the Krishna's Rasa dance. That's where we stopped, isn't it? Chapter 29 to chapter 33 in the 10th canto is known as the Rasa dance or Rasa Pancha Adhyayi. It's called in the among the Bhagavatam scholars. They call it as Rasa Pancha Adhyayi. Rasam. Rasa means Krishna's Rasa dance. Those five chapters which are discussed in those 29 to 33, five chapters. it is difficult to understand Krishna. It's difficult to understand. Krishna himself says that. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see in the 9th chapter, I think it is the 11th verse in the 9th chapter on the Bhagavad Gita, that avajananti mam mudha manushim tanum ashritam param bhavam ajanando mama bhuta maheshwaram. There is a verse in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanum ashritam param bhavam ajanando mama bhuta maheshwaram. Krishna says very important verse, because Krishna is saying that how difficult that people have completely misunderstood Krishna. In many instances, even some people thought he is an ordinary person like us. Others thought that Krishna is one among the Yadavas. So why they could not recognize Krishna, who he is, because of what is known as ajnanam, or avidya, or ignorance in us, we could not recognize, they could not recognize Krishna when Krishna came to this world. So when Krishna comes directly or Krishna comes as an incarnation, also we cannot understand Krishna. And that is one side of it. On one side, we cannot recognize Krishna, understand Krishna. On the other side, we do not know ourselves what we are. See the problem. We don't know what we are. Actually, we are thinking this, we are this body, and in complete identification with this body, we are living in this world in deep ignorance. This is not our actual identity. Our identity with the body means ignorance. So we do not know what we are, and when Krishna comes here, we are unable to understand Krishna or Krishna's any incarnations for that matter, unless learned people or realized souls point out to us and tell us that this is the absolute truth who has come here. So due to the same ignorance, we cannot understand Krishna, we cannot understand ourselves. And sometimes out of Krishna's compassion for us, Krishna sends his representatives to this world, great souls, or what is known as the spiritual masters. Even they, we don't recognize them either. We don't recognize them either. Because to realize the truth or the knowledge of the self, that is how Bhagavad Gita puts it, upadekshandide jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina, isn't it? Upadekshandide jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. So in order to realize the truth, Krishna is saying here, tadbiddhi pranipadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. You should surrender to a spiritual master and you should hear from him about the atmatattvam, or or Atmatattva means about the reality of the soul, of the spiritual nature of living entity. So this is the system, this is the process. We cannot understand ourselves, we don't know what we are. We don't understand Krishna when Krishna comes. We also don't understand when Krishna sends his representative to this world in different times, at different places, in different ways. Krishna sends people to help them in our, so we don't recognize them either. All these problems are there in spiritual life. So even when we get to know somebody as a spiritual master, what normally happens is we think that he is that body. He think that he is the body, and we start worshipping that body. Worshipping that body. And we also think that if we feed that body, massage that body, look after that body and worship that form, and that is our worship of the Guru. Worship of the Guru is like that. And this is that period in the history, never before like this has happened. That kind of Guru worship has become very prominent in the modern world. Very prominent in the modern world. They get hold of someone and say that he is the Guru, and he worships that form and massages his feet and offer him fruits and flowers and food and offer garlands, everything, and says to him that this is how I'm going to offer you the worship. So because it is like that, it has developed in that way. What has happened is, whoever wants to become a Guru, what will happen is that, and who wants to get worship or who wants to be glorified in that way, therefore such people will come to this field more than any time before. This you can see in this world very much. Those who wants to get worship, those who wants that glorification, those who wants that kind of recognition in the society, they are the people who come to this field now than any time before. And therefore it is very difficult to actually differentiate between the true and the false ones. That is also very difficult in these days. There is a lot of things to be spoken about that. Important thing is to realize this. Worshipping Guru on his form or his body, or massaging his feet, or offering flowers and food and other things to him, and that is not the important thing. This we have to understand first, before we are inquiring after a Guru. Unfortunately, in the modern world, that is what is considered to be guru worship. So, and a first-class guru will never like it, and worshipping his body or being worshipped in that way, it will not be his liking. It is not his liking. For him, massaging his feet or offering all the other things to him is not important. Is not important. Those things may go on, but mainly between the guru and the disciple, the main thing is Krishna is saying there, if you look at that verse, you will see, his qualification, first thing he says here, the guru must be Atmavit. Atmavit means he must have realized the truth. He must know what he is. That is the qualification of a guru. Not the propaganda or the all the other things what we make in this world. That is no use. So, self-realization is the first qualification Krishna talks about in that verse, isn't it? Tadvidhi pranivatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. Jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. The tattvadarshinam, tattvadarshanam is the qualification of the guru. And he should also be able to give that knowledge of the self to his disciple. And if the disciple is capable, and if they are capable of realizing the truth, if he is mature in that way, he should be capable of receiving that message from the spiritual master. So, if it is not like that, then there is no need for a guru. There is no need for a guru. So, whatever dharmam, laukiyam, or material life, what we lead, if we live in that life, that is okay. That is okay. If that is not happening the other way. So here, when one realizes that I want to realize the truth in this very life, or knowledge of the soul is very important for him, it is at that point, and that's at that stage, and when he is ready for that, Krishna comes in the form of the spiritual master to him. Therefore, Shastra says that one, when he finds a guru like that, through that spiritual master, Krishna instructs that person. And that is also in the Bhagavata mentions that as Antaryami. Antaryami means super soul who is present within us. He will come and he will instruct us from outside for what is necessary for the realization of the truth. And we should take that instruction and experience that also. And in order to do that, we have to be situated in that state. So, if he is a first class guru, he'll be pleased with the disciple when he takes the knowledge on board and practices and realizes the truth. That is what pleases him more than anything else. All other worship of the form, the body, all other things are secondary things. They are not the main thing. Important thing is, guru is pleased, Krishna is saying there, Almano gurura almeiva purushasya visheshata pratyakshena anumanabhyam shreyasamanuvindade. In the Bhagavatam, you will see this verse. Almano gurura almeiva purushasya visheshata. Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart as the super soul, he appears outside in the form of a guru. So, he is pleased when the disciple realizes the truth and come to the same understanding of what the nature of the absolute truth is itself. Kamaye sarvabhodanam adhidiyalpadarshanam. Adhidiyalpadarshanam. That is the important point mentioned there. So, why realized souls still live in this world? Only for this one reason. That purpose of that is that they wanted to show the others also the same route that they have followed. Their interest is that everybody should know about themselves, about the truth or about the soul. So, person who is situated in that way, he will not see the spiritual master simply as the body. He will not see him in the body. in the body. So on the other hand, whatever the spiritual master has spoken, he will bring that understanding into his own life, into his own life. And that will be the proper devotion to the Guru, devotion to the Guru. And their bhakti, Guru bhakti, will be very beautiful. Those who are taking the instructions from the spiritual master and follows that through their life and practices and realize it, their bhakti or their devotion to the Guru will be very beautiful, will be different than those who are on the sentimental level, who are on the sentimental. Sentimentalists are those who sees the form of the Guru, worship that body all the time, and completely put their faith in that body. Guru is not the body, Guru is the principle behind that. So those people, those who are sentimentally attached to a form of a Guru, and those who are worshipping him in that way, they are actually creating trouble for the Guru. Because if you start thinking Guru is the body, that you will give trouble to the Guru. You will give actually trouble to the Guru and to yourself. And to yourself. Krishna is saying here that Krishna is saying that same thing in this verse. Avajanandi maam moodha manushim tanum ashridam param bhavam ajanando mama bodha maheshwaram. Guru means the soul. Guru means the soul. Because three things: Krishna, Guru, and our soul. Three things: Ishwara, Guru, Atmaiva. Ishwara, Guru, and Atma. Atma is the soul. Guru is the spiritual master. Ishwara is Krishna. These three things, Murti Veda Vibhagina, if you start seeing them separate all the time and thinking that Guru is that body, we are this body, Krishna is also that body, nothing else, those people are in complete ignorance. Ishwaro Guriralpaiva Murti Veda Vibhagina Vyomavadhyapta Devayam Vyomavadhyapta Dehayam. Then just like the sky is present in everything, the same soul is present. Krishna is present in the spiritual master, he is present inside us as well. So it is on a spiritual level that we are connected with the spiritual master and we are connected with Krishna, not on the bodily level. So those who have taken the worship of the body as important, worship and trying to please the body of the spiritual master, is not actually following the proper worship of the Guru, has not understood the Guru principle, in other words. So the same vastu, the same substance is present in these three different forms. As Krishna is present there, then as the spiritual master he is present, and the living entity also is the same. Same substance is the same, the soul. Soul is the substance. So, then that wakes up when he realizes that, when one realizes the truth, what happens? He realizes that I am not this body. That's the first thing. And he also realizes the spiritual master is also not the body. That's another thing. When he is realizing the truth, he realizes himself that he is not the body, and then he also realizes the spiritual master is also not the body. So he is also not the body. And Krishna also is just not the form that what you see there. That's also another realization. All the three are the same vastu, same thing. So, so Krishna is mentioning there, if you look into the Bhagavad Gita in that 9th chapter, you will see, Mahalpanastamam partha devim prakritimashridaha bhajanti ananyamanaso jnatva bhudadimavyayam. There is a verse there. Mahalpanastamam partha devim prakritimashridaha. Krishna is saying there that I call those people as Mahalpa. Mahalpa means great personalities. Why? Because they have realized the truth. They have realized they are not the body. They have realized spiritual master is not the body. They have also realized Krishna is not just that form what he is saying there. All the three things. That is our greatest misconception in this life. And that is why when many instances you will see this, people they have taken to Guru worship. And they all they are busy with cooking for the Guru, feeding the Guru, offering the massaging the Guru, baiting the Guru, completely absorbed in the serving the Guru's body, which is a great misconception. That is not proper. That can happen, but that is another secondary thing.
What pleases the guru is, if it is a proper guru-disciple relationship, from that relationship must come out this understanding that the proper transmission of the knowledge of the self must happen from the spiritual master to the disciple, if both are genuine. So, Ishvaro Gurirāyatmaiva Murtibheda Vibhāginā, one who is differentiates them, thinking that there are three different bodies, Vyomavad Vyaptadehāyam, just like sky is present in all different pots, and the same sky is present there, but when the pot is broken, originally they are only the same sky. In the same way, the soul who is present in us, present in the spiritual master, and which is present in Krishna, they are all the same. Material wise, it is the same. So, Krishna says there, that calls that personalities as Mahatma, isn't it? If you look at a verse there, you will find, Mahatmanastumam partha devim prakritim ashridaha bhajanti ananyamanaso jnatva bhutadimavyayam. Krishna says in that 9th chapter, these are the people whom Krishna considers as Mahatma, one who has understood that he is not the body, one who has understood that spiritual master is not the body, and one who has also understood that Krishna is just not that body alone. Krishna is more than that. The understanding, the principle of Krishna. Krishna Tattvam, in other words. So, all these things are important while we studying Bhagavatam. Also, you will notice, Bhajanti Ananya Manasa, such people who have that understanding, Krishna says, they worship me, Ananya Manasa, Jnatvam Bhudadim Avyayam. That they know that Jnatva, what do they know? Bhudadim Avyayam. That I am that principle which is present in every living entity, subjected to any destruction, stays forever. The truth, that is the principle. That Jnatva Bhudadim Avyayam, if you look that word, you will see Bhudadim Avyayam. Avyayam means one has no extinction, one will remain forever. That consciousness inside, that awareness inside, Jnatva Bhudadim Avyayam, Krishna says, Mahatmanastu Maam Partha Devim Prakritim Ashridaha. Devi Prakriti. They have taken shelter of the Devi Prakriti. Devi Prakriti means the superior nature of the superior nature. So, Bhajanti Ananya Manaso. Krishna says Ananya Manaso. This Ananyam word, we talked about it before also, how important it is. What does Ananyam means? We spoke about that in the Narada Bhakti Sutram also. Anyashrayanam Tyagaha Ananyaha. That is how Narada Maharshi defines that word. Anyashrayanam Tyagaha Ananyaha. What does that mean? Anyashrayanam Tyagaha means that at the moment we have taken shelter of various things in this world, isn't it? People have taken shelter of so many things. People who have taken shelter of the taken shelter of their wealth. Some people have taken shelter of their wealth. Some people have taken shelter of their fame. Some people have taken shelter of their followers. All these are different ways people take shelter in this world. People have got lot of followers. They think that these followers are they consider that as their shelter. And similarly, people who have taken fame, who are very famous, that they feel that they have a shelter there in that fame. These are all part of the false ego inside, ahankaram inside. Similarly, people who take shelter of the social connections, social friendship and relations and things like that, that is another aspect of taking shelter. All of them are subjected to death. None of them will stay. That is the important point. Followers won't stay. Fame won't stay, money won't stay. If we take shelter of the money, that won't stay either. That will all go. Added to that, some people take shelter of their own body, thinking that the body will stay, and the body also won't stay. So if you keep looking at it, you can see anything what you take shelter in this world, that all of them is one day is going to bring distress to us in one way or the other. That is the reason why Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us not to take shelter of anything. If you take shelter of something in this world, everything will bring eventually distress to us. Whether it is your own body or your money or your fame or followers or wealth, whatever it is, all of that will bring distress. And that will, anyone can understand that, or whomever in the family life who are attached to somebody and thinks that they will be my shelter, they will also one day leave us and go, or we will be forced to leave them. In one way or the other it will happen. So those who have realized this from their own experience in this world, what do they do? That is what Narada Maharshi is saying there. Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. Ananyatvam means that giving up the shelter of everything else in this world and taking complete shelter of the soul, complete shelter of the soul, Krishna. That is what is ananyata means. So that is why Krishna is using that word often in the Bhagavad Gita, ananyata. Ananyaschindayendomam yejanam bhajivasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Krishna says there, isn't it? Ananyaschinda. Ananyatva means this. Ananyatva means anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. One who gives up ashrayam or shelter of another things, other things in this world, he is ananyata. Ananyata is there in him. He has got ananyatvam in him. That is how Bhagavadam talks about that. In Bhagavad Gita also the same words comes often. So, our shelter, if you think the money is the shelter, or wealth is the shelter, body is the shelter, and society is the shelter, or fame is the shelter, followers is the shelter, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying to us, when all that shelter is given up, and taken complete shelter of Krishna alone as the shelter, then that is ananyatvam. Simply saying won't good, but that stage has to happen. Ananyaschindayendomam, Krishna is saying there. So there you can see that this realization of Krishna, this realization of Krishna is important, because it is from that realization proper Krishna consciousness comes. Krishna consciousness comes from that. So ananya, we also see bhaktyamam vijanadi yavanyascha smitatvada tadomam tattvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram. In the Bhagavad Gita also you will see this, that this tattvajnanam or consciousness, Krishna consciousness, proper understanding of Krishna is important. Jivasya tattvajnyasa, that is tattvam, tattvadarshanam, it is mentioned in the Bhagavadam. So Krishna says, Mahatmanastu mam partha devim prakritim ashridaha. Devi prakriti means that taking Krishna's shelter is devi prakriti. Bhajanti ananya manaso jnatva bhodadim avyayam. And then taking that devi prakriti is the spiritual side, that means Krishna, soul. And that is devi prakriti. So Krishna is saying, Mahatmanastu mam partha devim prakritim ashridaha. One who has taken shelter of the Devi Prakriti, or in other words, taken Krishna's shelter, he has got Ananya Bhakti. He is in the platform of Ananya Bhakti. And says there. Then Krishna mentions there, Mokasha Mokha Karmano Mokha Jnana Vijayadasa Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva Prakritim Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva. Mokasha Mokha Karmano. You will see in the same chapter, Krishna's another verse. It's 12. Rakshasi Masurin Chaiva Prakriti Mohinim Shrida. So two kind of Prakriti, Devi Prakriti and the Prakriti Asuri Prakriti. Two Prakriti Krishna is talking about there, in that, isn't it? Devi Prakriti and Asuri Prakriti. So those who are under the shelter of Devi Prakriti, they do not take shelter of anything in this world. Because they realized it, that if I take shelter of anything in this world, it will bring me distress tomorrow in one way or the other. So inside they have made this decision. They will conduct their transaction in this world in the normal way. But inside, no shelter. That is their approach in life. They won't take any shelter of anything in this world, whether it is family, money, or fame, or followers, or whatever that offers shelter in this world. They don't take shelter of it because they know that it will bring distress tomorrow. That is why. That's why Krishna says both in that verse that Mahalpanastu Mam Partha Devim Prakriti Mashada. They take shelter of Devi Prakriti. Bhajanti Ananya Manaso Yatva Bodhadhim Avyayam. That is in the verse 13. Krishna says that, isn't it? In the 9th chapter. So in the 12th verse, Krishna mentions before that, Mokhasha Mokha Dharmano Mokha Jnanam Jedasa Rakshasi Masunim Jaiva Prakriti Mohinim Shrida. Mokhasha Mokha Dharmanam Mohajnanam Vijayadasa Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva Prakriti Mohinim Shuddha. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demoniac and atheistic views. In the deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. They will eventually face extinction. They cannot see, because why? They have taken shelter of the Asura Prakriti. Asura Prakriti, they have taken shelter. So, Devi Prakriti and Asura Prakriti, Krishna has spoken about that in that verse. So, that is what is called as Ajnanam or Avidya in us. And you can see that all the problems of this world, the very fundamental cause of all this, all problems, is this Avidya. That those who have taken shelter of the Asura Prakriti, isn't it? Asura Prakriti means Mokhasham, Mokhasham, Mokhakarmana, Mokhajnana Vichedasa. That they have built up a lot of unnecessary desires in them. And their activities are also all useless, demoniac activities. Mokhasham, Mokhakarmana, Mokhajnana, and their knowledge is also full of false. There is no knowledge in them. Vichedasa, and their consciousness is very degrading. What happens? Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva. And they become Rakshasas and Asuras. When we say Rakshasa and Asura, we should not misunderstand. Because sometimes we think Rakshasa and Asura means only who has got some horns or big eyes and looks very demoniac. That is not just the bodily looks that matters there. Because if you look into the Ramayanam, you will see Ravana was a very beautiful person. Very beautiful to look at. He had, in fact, Anjaneya Swami says when he saw Ravana, how beautiful he looked. So, it is not the physical, but Ravana's activities were this Asuric nature, Rakshasic nature. So, Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva Prakriti Mohinim Shrida. Rakshasi, Asuri, both, Rakshasam and Asuram. They are the demoniac nature and they take shelter of the Prakriti, material nature, Prakriti Mohinim Shrida. So, you can see, material nature shelter means you will be victimized by the material nature in some form, and you will turn out to be a Rakshasa or a Asura. Rakshasa or a Asura. Whereas those who have understood material nature well, they will take Krishna shelter, which is mentioned there as Devi Prakriti, isn't it? Mahalpanastu Mam Partha Devim Prakriti Mashrida Bhajanti Ananya Manaso. So, because of this ajnanam or ignorance in us, that is the reason why we are thinking we are this body, because of this ignorance in us. And when they have the spiritual master also, they are unable to know him properly. They think he is that body, what he is seeing there. And he also is not able to understand what is Krishna. Everything on a bodily level. He himself thinks himself as the body. He thinks the spiritual master as the body, and he thinks Krishna also simply as the body, nothing more than that. That is the bodily concept of life, isn't it? So wherever people are identifying with the body alone, these are the consequences of that. This is the consequences of that. So what will happen? He thinks whatever is good for his body, he thinks it is good for spiritual master's body also. And that is how his service starts. His service starts like that. And he will do so many things to please his body, to spiritual master's body. Why? Because I am thinking I am this body, so I am also thinking that this is good for my spiritual master also, in the same way. Bodily identity brings all these problems. He thinks he is the body, He thinks the spiritual master is the body, and then he also thinks Krishna is also that body only, nothing more than that.
Ishvaro guriratmaiva murti bheda vibhagina vyomavalvapta dehaya.
That he hasn't got that, come to that stage yet, that because he is thinking he is the body, he can only see others only as the body. This is a great problem. And that is why I was mentioning that in the beginning, that the spiritual field is now completely depend on this worship, on this kind of worship. Actually, spiritual master is pleased when one takes the message seriously and he realizes himself the truth. He is not looking for all this personal worship, feet massaging and all the other services what we offer generally in this world. So, Krishna says that such people, Krishna says here, Mudha. They are the ones who address us, Mudha, Avajanandi Ma Mudha. He says here that they are, I am in this body, they are thinking that I am this form. And also, Krishna says about himself, Manushim Tanim Ashridam. I have taken this human form and they are thinking about me that I am also one like him, one body like them. I got two hands, two legs, that's all. So they don't know anything that there is a truth beyond than this human form, beyond this human form. Therefore, their mind is wandering around with various desires, and that is how they spend their life in this world. They spend their life in this world. So this is the point Krishna is mentioning here, that the avajanandi ma mudha manushim tanum ashridam. By accepting that body, Krishna is thinking, people are saying that Krishna is also like us. And then what happens? All Krishna's activities also, we start analyzing in the same way. When Krishna has had rasa dance with the gopis, we started thinking Krishna is also enjoying like us. That's how this misconception has come to our head. All because of identification with the body. With the body. If we identify with our own body, what happens? We'll think spiritual master is the body, so he should enjoy like the way we enjoy in our body. Then what else we'll do? We think Krishna is also the same body, so Krishna is also enjoying like us in the same way. It's all coming from that verse. That is why Krishna very openly mentions that Avajanandi Maam Mudha. One who does not know me, he is a Mudha, because Manushim Tanum Ashridam. Tanu means body. I have taken a human form. They are thinking like that. Param Bhava Majanando. They don't know my superior position, who I am. Mama Bhuda Maheshwaram. The Param Bhava Majanando Mama Bhuda Maheshwaram. That I am the person, I am the truth who is present in every living entity controlling their life in this world, and who is present as the aham, a consciousness in everyone. That is me, Krishna is saying there. And when we do not understand that, what we will do? We will think that we are this body, spiritual master is the body, Krishna is that body. So bodily level, this identification goes. With the result of that is that when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, these five chapters, 29 to 33, the Rasa Panchadhyay or Rasa dance, we will also think that Krishna's rasa dance also is something like similar dance what we also dance in this world. In the same way, we will misunderstand about Krishna. So, Bhagavan apito ratri sharadol pulla malliga vichinandam manaschakre yogamaya amupashridaham. That's where we started the 29th chapter, 10th canto. Bhagavan apito ratri sharadol pulla malliga vicharandam manas chakre yogamayam upashridaham. When the Sharakalam is autumn time came, Krishna has Sharadolpullam Ligaha Vicharandam Manas Chakre Yogamayam Upashridaham. Krishna says here, by and under the control of Yogamaya, Krishna has decided to engage in rasa dance with the gopis. It mentions, Bhagavan abhido ratri sharadol pulla malligaha. In that sharad season, that Krishna has decided to dance with the gopis. Tadomiraja kukubakkarer muham പ്രാച്യാവിലിംബം നരുണേന ശന്തമൈ സചർഷണീനാമുദകാശുജോ മൃജൻ പ്രിയ പ്രിയായാം ഇവ ദീർഘദർശനാഹ. തദോപുരാജകുകുവക്കരേർമുഖം പ്രാച്യാവിലിംബം നരുണേന ശന്തമൈ സചർഷണീനാമുദകാശ്രുജോ മൃജൻ പ്രിയ പ്രിയായാം ഇവ ദീർഘദർശനാഹ. സോ ഇറ്റ് വാസ് അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ടൈം ദ മൂൺ കേം ടു ദ സ്കൈ, ഇറ്റ് കെയിം അപ്പ് ഇൻ ദ സ്കൈ. And with that moonshine, all of the people, all of them, Krishna and all the gopis who are present there, they also felt great happiness. Drishtva kumudvandamakandamandalam ramananabham navakungumaryanam vananyatam komalagobiranjitam jagaukalam vamadrisham manoharam. So Krishna was dressed for the rasa dance, and in that shining moon Krishna looked so beautiful, and looking at Vrindavanam Krishna felt so happy and played the flute to inviting the gopis to come, inviting the gopis to come. So here what we were discussing last time was that so Krishna's the living entity Krishna Grihita Manasa, it says Nishamya Gidam Tadananga Vardhanam, fourth verse Vrajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasaha Ajagmu Anyonyam Alakshitodhyama Sayatrakando Javalola Kundalaha. The gopis who were invited, Krishna played the flute for the gopis to come, and they heard Krishna's flute. Shuka Brahmarshi is mentioning here how the gopis responded to it. Nishamya Gidam Tadananga Vardhanam Vrajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasaha Ajangmu Anyonyam Alakshitodhyama Sayatrakando Javalola Kundalaha. That Krishna Grihita Manasa, their mind was gopis, their mind was completely absorbed in Krishna even while they were engaged in their activities in Vrindavanam at home. So it is the same, Krishna Grihita Manasa. If somehow or the other, if Krishna gets control of our mind, then we have escaped from this world. Somehow or the other, if Krishna gets control of our mind, we will escape from this world. Just like the father takes the son to the marketplace, and the child says to the father, I'll hold on to your hand. I'll hold on to your hand. Father says, no, I will hold your hand. Which is safer? The father holding the child's hand is safer, isn't it? Because if the child leaves the hand, the child is holding on to the father's hand. If the child leaves the hand, if he gets lost, then it's a problem. Whereas father knows, if he holds the hand of the child is secure. Child is secure because father is conscious all the time about the protection of the child. So similarly, in Krishna's shelter also, if Krishna takes control of our mind, of our life, then we are secure. If we try to hold on to Krishna, it may not be always secure. Always secure. This is the state of the situation with the jiva. This is the situation with the jiva. If we hand over ourselves to Krishna, then it is Krishna's responsibility to look after us. On the other hand, if you try to hold on to Krishna, it may not last very long. Suddenly, sometimes you may slip. So when we hold on to Krishna, the strength is on our grip, how strong we are in holding. It depends on that, our survival, is it not? On the other hand, or in other words, which we mean normally by our sadhana, in other words, depends on our sadhana, our shelter or our protection of Krishna is depending on our sadhana or our effort, isn't it? Our effort. But if Krishna is holding on to us, or if we get attracted by Krishna, or Krishna's beauty, if we get attracted by that, then that living entity, jiva, has nothing to fear anymore.
And because the mind is in Krishna's hand, not in my hand anymore. Mind is in Krishna's hands, not in my hand anymore. Therefore, devotee is completely independent. After he has handed over the mind to Krishna, he is completely independent. In other words, one who has performed Sharanagati or surrender to Krishna, he is completely independent. He is completely independent. Because from then on, he doesn't have to control his mind, control his senses or anything like that. That's all finished after that. So that is what it is mentioning here. Krishna is playing the flute and the gopis have completely forgotten about this world. Completely forgotten about this world. So that is why mentions there, Brajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasa. Krishna Grihita Manasa. That is what that word is indicating. Krishna has taken control of their mind completely and therefore they have no other thoughts that is happening in their mind. There is no other thoughts coming to them. They have given up their vyavaharam in this world. Vyavaharam is over. All activities of this world is over. Although body is doing different things, mind has been handed over to Krishna. Nishamya geetam tadananga vardhanam Vrajastriya Krishna grihita manasa. Vrajastriya, the gopis of Vrajam, Krishna grihita manasa. Krishna has taken control of their mind. Ajagmu anyonya alakshido dhyama. Ajagmu anyonyam alakshido dhyama. Sayatra gandho javalola kundalaham. Then, a lot of things in that verse. All those gopis who have handed over their mind to Krishna, they all have their individual relationship with Krishna. They are not together anymore. Physically they are together, but in their spiritual relationship with Krishna, they are individual. They are individual. We learn that from him. So, they are in Krishna's hands, and in other words, for them, this material world, jada prabhanjam, jada means this dead matter, this world, that is does not exist anymore. So, they have been caught hold of by Krishna in such a way. Jagadi idrisham na vedam. So, they have, what does that mean? Jadapravanja means that in this material world, we have connection with this world through the house, through the family members, and so many other relationships in this world. Isn't it? So, all these relationships, what does it happen with that? We are stuck in that. We are stuck in that. Attachment and connections there. So in Gopi's case, Krishna Grihita Manasaham, that mind is not busy with any of those things anymore. What goes on in this world? It has no connection there. On the other hand, because Krishna has taken control of their mind, Jagadidrisham Navedaham. So Jagadidrisham Naveda, they do not know anything what is going on in this world. They are at home. They are living with their husbands, the children, the parents. They are all there, but they don't know what is going on with them. So, everything has been taken over by Krishna. Krishna has completely swallowed everything. So, Krishna Bhavam or Krishna Anubhavam, experience of Krishna, that is what these gopis had at that time. So, everything is Krishna consciousness. Their consciousness was such that they don't know anything in this world except Krishna. Family life is going on, children are there, parents are there, husband is there, wife is there, but gopis are concerned that that world doesn't exist for them anymore. Only Krishna exists for them anymore. You will see this nature among the great, great devotees also. As they become more serious and Krishna conscious, the connection with the world breaks away. Connection with the world breaks away. Namalwar, one of the famous Alwars, he had the same situation. So, he saw when he was born and when he was a little boy, he moved from his house to the bottom of a tree and stayed there for years and years. He stayed there, completely absorbed in Krishna like Prahlada was. You'll notice this, that the Malwar story is famous. The Malwar is one of the famous Alwars and he was a little child, moved away from home and
underneath the tree and stayed underneath the tree for a long time. Never, not in the bodily concept of life at all. Absolutely no identification with the body. He has completely forgotten this world. 18 years he spent like that underneath the tree. 18 years he spent like that. So this is what happens when Krishna takes control. Krishna takes control. So one of his disciple, who was another Alvar known as Madhuragavi. Madhuragavi Alvar, he started from Vrindavanam, he started walking. He got a realization that he has to meet his spiritual master. So in the night, when he looked at the sky, he saw a star right on the top of the head, not far from him. And he started following that star. He started walking from there all the way from Vrindavanam. He started walking. And the star was moving in the night, and he was following the star. When the daytime comes, everything is bright. He does not see the star. So he will stay in the day, wherever he got there, he stayed there. In the night again the star comes out in the sky and he follows the star. In this way, he followed the star all the way from Vrindavanam right up to place where Namalwar was lying underneath the tree. When he got there, he comes to Namalwar and there is a conversation between Madhuragavi and Namalwar, what happens there between them. So, Krishna graha grihi dalma na veda jagadi drisham. That is what Krishna graha grihi dalma means. If Krishna has taken over, taken control, na veda jagadi drisham, that he cannot see anymore this world. So Madhuragavi comes there and pays his obeisances to Namalwar. And you may wonder, how can a person stay like that? The answer is that so when we have false ego inside, ahankaram inside, as long as we have that, we will not be able to stay in that state. Once the ahankaram goes away, this is an interesting thing. You know that from the deep sleep in the night, we wake up into vacant state. Why does we wake up? That's another important question, isn't it? When we go into deep sleep in the night, the body has gone, the mind has gone, and in the deep sleep state, we still exist as consciousness is there. What is present at that time, the sleep as well as the nidra, or the ajnanam or tamogunam, which is present as a strong thick layer over us, which covers us strongly, and we are in that deep sleep state. When we wake up in the morning, what forcing us to wake up in the morning at a particular time or whatever? Because when we moved away from the dream state to the deep sleep, all the vasanas that has gone with us, previously accumulated vasanas, they have not gone away yet. And because those vasanas are there, it has to be exhausted, and therefore we have to come back to the vacant state again. This is the reason why, that is why till all the vasanas goes away, and includes the false ego inside, we will have to accept another vacant state again. Not that we love this vacant state so much. Vacant state is the culmination of all the miseries together. Isn't it? Vacant state is nothing but a culmination of all the miseries together. Bodily miseries, mental miseries, any misery you can think about, it's all there in the vacant state. So why we are brought back to this vacant state again? Because when you can see this, that is from the deep sleep state, because in the night time when you go to sleep, all the vasanas that is there in the subtle body, they have not been exhausted. It is there as a vasana there. And this vasanas is looking for an outlet to come back again. So therefore, the vacant state is the only opportunity where it can come back and experience that vasana again. So therefore, Krishna graha grihi idalma na veda jagati idrisham. Then Madhuragavi Alvar has a long conversation with Namalwar at that time. He's asking various things at that time. That ahankaram or false ego is that thing which is nothing but the vasanas are linked to the ahankaram, to the false ego. Ahankaram is what is waking us up at that night, in the morning. So, one who is in the deep sleep state, could he not stay in that state forever? But we have to wake up in the morning. We have to wake up in the morning. Because you may not want to wake up, You may not want to wake up, but you do need to wake up. Then you start thinking the children have to go to school and the adults have to go to work and the women have to go to the kitchen and cook the food, all things like that. And others have to go to offices or whatever business they have to. So in deep sleep state, none of these things exist, is it? There is no office, there is no school, there is no cooking, there is no any of the other activities there. But all these things are part of the false ego. All these things are a part of the false ego. So that is why if you look into the Mandukya Upanishad, Mandukya Upanishad puts it nicely. That how Mandukya says like this. Yatra supto na kanjana kamam kamayati na kanjana swapnam pashyati tada sushuptam sushuptasyal eki bodha prajnanakhanam eva anandamayo anandamo chedo mukha prajnas tridiya padaha. These three things, jagrat, swapnam, sushupti. Upanishads are very direct. They do not take you through stories. They tell you the truth directly to you. It says here, yatra supto na kanjana kamam kamayate. In jagrat, vacant state, you have desires. You are desiring gold. So many things you like to have, isn't it? In the vacant state. Yatra supto, when you go to deep sleep, na kanchana kamam kamayate. You have no desire for anything. All kamam finish there. Now in the vacant state, desire after desire. So many desires and plans here. As soon as you go to deep sleep, na kanchana kamam kamayate. There is no desires at all. Na kanchana swapnam pashyati tad. You are not even dreaming about it in the deep sleep. When you go to that, na kanchana swapnam pashyati tad. That is sushuptam, he says. Upanishad says, tat sushuptam. Sushuptam is that, where na kanchana kamam kamayate na kanchana swapnam pashyati. That where you do not desire anything. Desiring is a very nature of the vacant state. Desiring so many things. That is vacant state. In the dream state, we dream about that. Kanchana swapnam pashyati. Swapnam pashyati. In the dream state, same thing comes in dreams. In jagrat, if we have that sushupti state, we won't dream. Why do we dream? We dream because in the vacant state, because it is activated in the vacant state with full of desires and wants, therefore we have dreams. In the sushupti state, it doesn't exist, isn't it? No, there is no experience of the, there is no desires in the sushupti. And therefore, if that state, if we live, because if we do not dream in the vacant state, that is the principle. If we do not dream in the vacant state, we won't have dreams at night while sleeping. Because during the day, we dream a lot, which we don't know. We think we are awake, but actually dreaming is going on all the time. Is it not? We know that. We think that we are awake, we live in this world, but most of the time we live inside our own mind. We are, most 80% of our time is inside our mind. Mind is bringing thoughts and we are absorbed in that thoughts. What goes on in the world, we are not conscious. Only if somebody tells you something, we give our attention to the world also. But lot of the time is spent in the mind. So why do we do? Because we do that, that's why we have the dream state. We have the dream state. Because dream, what we are happening is, if you don't dream during the day, then you won't dream at night either. Don't dream at night either. That is the principle. But in Sushupti, the Mandukya Upanishad says like this, yatra supto na kanchana kamam kamayate. The Sushupti state's beauty is no desires at that stage. All Krishna is asking us, prajahadiyada kaman sarvan parthamano gadan. You remember in the second chapter, Krishna is saying there, prajahadiyada kaman sarvan parthamano gadan. That at the all kamam, all desires should go from inside. Sarvan parthamano, knowing very well that they have come from the, from where? From the mind. Isn't it? Look at that verse in the second chapter.
Prajahadi yadakaman sarvan partha manogadan. Verse number 55. Yes. Shri Bhagavan uvacham. Prajahadi yadakaman sarvan partha manogadan. Almani evalmana tushta stida prajnastadochyade. So Krishna is saying, when a man gives up all varieties of desire which arise from mental concoction, when his mind finds satisfaction in the self alone, he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. That is the point Krishna is making there, isn't it? Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan almanye vatmana tushta sthita prajna stadochyade. That is sthita prajnatvam, liberated state, when all desires are gone. So what's happening in the deep sleep? This is the same state that we are experiencing every night. In the deep sleep state, na kanchana kamam kamayate, there is no desires at all. That is why deep sleep state is a very important state, and it is an advanced state in spiritual life. It is practically a realized state, liberated state, that is. So Krishna is saying this in the Bhagavad Gita. Mandaka Upanishad is saying, yatra supto na kanchana kamam kamayate. Sushupti state is that state where you have no kamam, no desires at all. In other words, this state what Krishna is talking about is in the Sushupti state we are experiencing. Is it not? So, na kanchana swapnam pashyati. What else? Not only that we are not desiring anything, we are not even dreaming about anything. You see, it's very interesting. How fortunate this, this is why human body is so fortunate. That in this body, Krishna has filled up all sorts of things for us to look at carefully and start thinking about freeing from this body, mind, intelligence, everything. So much opportunity given here. That a Sushupti state is given to us, and looking at that Sushupti state, you can see there, it is the same thing what Krishna is saying as the liberated state in the Bhagavad Gita. Is it not? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Prajahadi yadakaman sarvan partha manogadan. Almanya almana tushta sthita prajna stadochyade. Sthita prajnatvam is that. And that state is what we have at night in the deep sleep. Now you see why important deep sleep is? Deep sleep is not to get up and curse the sleep. Oh, I slept so many hours and then think, oh, now I am very busy in my life. We have to reverse all this misunderstanding from our head. That we get up and then immediately Ahankaram gets up first and false ego says to me that you got all these things to do today, so be prepared for that, start your organizing and your planning the whole day. Then press the BlackBerry to check what all I have to do, all these things. This is what we do in this world. Krishna is saying to us, look, I have given you this deep sleep state. Look at that state and see what I have spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Compare it and see yourself where you stand. Prajahadi yada akaman sarvan parthamanogadan almanye valmana tushta sthita prajnastadochyade. Sthita prajnatvam is that no desires inside. All desires goes away. And every night we experience this, that all desires goes away from us. For some time. That's why Mandukyam says here, yatra supto na kanchana kamam kamayate. At that time, there is no desires inside. But once you wake up in the morning, everything comes back. Is it not? Everything comes back. Kanchana sopnam bashiri. Two things happens. Na kanchana kamam kamayate. No desiring anything. Added to that, you don't even dream about anything like that. Sopnam bashiri. Tat sushuptam. That is sushupti state. Sushupta sthanam eki bodaha. What is other beauty of this sushupti? Eki bodaha. There is only one. We don't have I exist, my brother exists, my father exists, my mother exists, Brahmana exists, Kshatriya exists, boy exists, girl exists. There is no difference in anything. All difference designations completely wiped out in one stroke. Is it not? That's what happens in sushupti state. Is eki bodaha. You're only one at that time. What is that? Pure consciousness. That's what it is there at that time. But that consciousness is not experienced because of the cover of the tamogunam in there, inside. The tamogunam which is present in us, that tamogunam put a very strong cover to all that. Therefore that sushupti state is not in your direct awareness, is not happening there. It is such an important thing, this one,
that sushupta sthanam eki bhutaha. Sushupta sthanam, that sushupti state is eki bhutaha. You don't have variety there. Is it not? There is no variety in the sushupti state. You don't identify with the body. You don't identify with the land of birth. Neither varnam, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, nor ashramam, brahmachari, grahastam, vanaprastham, sannyasam. No man, no woman, male, female, no boy, no girl, and no nationality, Indian, Indian, American, European, all that things goes away. No black man, white man, brown man, yellow man, all that kinds goes away. Everything goes away. All designations all go at that time, in that sushupti state. Therefore, it is egibodaha. Egibodaha. You only one state, one oneness there. There is no many thing existing there. Prajnanaghanam eva anandamayoho. And prajnanaghanam eva anandamayoho. Anandamayam it is, isn't it? That also we can't reject it. Why are we, when we wake up in the morning, we feel happy in the from the deep sleep. When we wake up in the morning, when we wake up in the morning, we feel happy. Why? Because of the deep sleep state. Is it not? So that's why mentions there, prajnanaghanam eva anandamayoho. Anandamayam it is. And and anandabuk cheto mukaha prajnas tridiya padaha. Triyabhadam, that is the Sushupti state. What else? Esha Sarveshwaraha, Esha Sarvajnaha, Esha Andaryam Esha Yonihi, Sarvasya Prabhavapayohi Bhudhanam. This is in the Mandukya Upanishad. Mandukya Upanishad is saying there, Esha Sarveshwaraha. At that time, what you are experiencing there in that deep sleep state, Esha Sarveshwaraha, it is the absolute truth. Esha Sarvajnaha, that awareness knows everything. It is fully aware of everything. Esha Andaryami. It is the Andaryami inside. Andaryami. Esha Yonihi. Sarvasya Prabhavapayohi Bhudhanam. All living entities are experiencing this every night. Every night. So saying that, so why did we wake up in the morning? False ego. Inside, it hasn't gone away, so we wake up. Because of the false ego, we wake up in the morning. Otherwise, we can sleep eternally without waking up. We think this waking up is a big thing, isn't it? And people also think that if we sleep less, they are making spiritual progress and spiritual advancement. Actually, it is not like that. What it is that Goswami slept very few hours every night. So people start imitating that. That won't work. That is not what is the... Their sleeping and their waking up state are different, because already that state of deep sleep has come to them in their waking state. That's why they don't sleep. Due to self-realization, due to the advancement in the spiritual life, they have already realized the truth, which means that in the deep sleep state, how we feel, like this Mandukya Upanishad explaining that. That same experience that has come to them in their awakened state. You have to look at it that way. That's how you have to understand that. And because it is like that, they are not sleeping anymore. Like the way we sleep. We sleep on a gross level, isn't it? Body has to go to sleep. And for that purpose, people are... You can see this also, that to get that deep sleep, what all people do in this world, sleeping tablets and so many things people take, isn't it? Big people, many big businessmen and big politicians or people who are holding very big positions in this world, they cannot sleep at night because of their continuous chittavritti going through their mind whole day and night. When you become prime minister, president and all that, this is what happens. You think most of them are on sleeping tablets. They need to take sleeping tablets. Otherwise they can't sleep at night, or alcohol, something like that, to go in so that they can get some sleep. So they also want the sleep at the end. That's what they are looking for. So you can see that they... So desiring to sleep is there, because it is in the deep sleep that they have enjoyed maximum than any other state, in the dream state or the wakened state. So even though they may be in their wakened state, they may be proprietors of billions of pounds in this world, or they may have a lot of wealth and fame and power and followers in this world, ultimately he also wants to go to deep sleep to enjoy in the deep sleep. That's why he takes to, ordinary people take to the sleeping tablets or such things like alcohol or things like that. Devotees take to chanting the holy name and Bhagavatam and go to sleep. So both helps. Devotee shelter is holy name and Bhagavatam. They chant and they get sleep, good sleep. They go to sleep. So either way, whether you are a devotee or a karmi or whatever, you all want that. Ultimately, that's what we want, that deep sleep state. That you cannot refuse, deny it, isn't it? Everybody wants it. So the thing is this, that Sushupti state is so glorified in the Upanishad, that Ege Bodaha, Esha Sarveshwaraha, so many things. Upanishad is not happy with saying one thing. It says, Esha Sarveshwaraha, you are Sarveshwara, you are on the highest state at that time, because there is no body, there is no mind, nothing there. Esha Sarvajnaha, you know everything at that time, because you are in union with the Absolute Truth. Esha Andaryamesha Yoni, Andaryami is there, you are in touch with the Andaryami. Andaryami and you have no separation at that time. Eki Bhutaha, Prajnanakhanam, Eva Anandamayoho. Anandamayam, that's full of Anandam, is that state. So our Madhuragavi came to Namalwar, and Madhuragavi paid his obeisances to Namalwar. When he got to Namalwar's place, where Namalwar was lying underneath the tree, the star was standing there. The star has brought him to the final destination. Madhuragavi understood that. And he pays his obeisances to Namalwar, and there is a discussion. So he asked that question to him, that when one reaches that state, he had a discussion. Madhuragavi Alwar and Namalwar has a discussion there. He says to him that when he gets to that state, when he wakes up in the morning, how does he wake up? From that deep sleep state, when there is so much happiness, a peculiar false ego pops up. So what should I do with that false ego? This was the question. What should I do with the false ego? It is because of the false ego inside that we wake up in the morning. So he says to him that from the chit shakti, there is a small false ego that pops up. So two things in Chandokyam Upanishad, it will talk about it. Bhuma and Alpam. Bhuma means big, huge it is. From that state, because when you are in the Sushupti state, you are in a Bhuma state. Bhuma. Bhuma state means that you are not separated at that time from the truth. You are in union with the truth in the Sushupti state, isn't it? Eki Bodaha. At that time, you are in one with the truth. Your state of consciousness is one with the truth. And from that state, a small thing pops up, which is in the name of false ego. What we call as the false ego. So false ego has come from that chit shakti. Separation happened. At that point, separation happened to us. In the morning, when we wake up from the deep sleep, separation has happened for us. From that very subtle level, you have to look at all these things. In a very subtle level. Don't try to use your brain and intelligence to understand this, because it's beyond than that, mind and intelligence. So, so what should, that is called Alpam. Alpam means this minute thing that has come out from that Bhuma. Bhuma means the unlimited absolute nature of the consciousness. From, we are in one with that in the deep sleep state. And from there, when we wake up in the morning, our false ego separated us from that state. We came out from that. So what should he do at that time? He says to Namalwar, answers Madhuragavi Alwar's in this way, that experience that chit shakti in that way, and knowing, remembering that Sushupti state, what you have experienced, the Chidanandam, what you have experienced in the Chidanandam. And instead of trying to separate yourself from that experience of that Sushupti state, and instead of thinking that you are individual and you are separated as a jiva, not thinking like that, always staying in line with that Sushupti state. That means even though you have woken up, Namavar is saying to Madhuragavi Alvar, Namavar says to him that although you are separated from that Chit Shakti in the form of this false ego, you should still try to go back to that Chit Shakti which was experienced in the deep sleep state. So in the deep sleep state. And remain in that state as long as one can. As long as one can. Namavar stayed in that state for 18 years underneath the tree. Underneath the tree. So, Krishna Grihi, that means, in other words, when Ahankaram comes, mind comes. Isn't it? When Ahankaram comes, mind comes. We see that in the morning when we wake up. First the false ego, I am separated. And then the mind, my plans and my ideas, everything comes out. So that is why Krishna Graha Grihi Dalma Na Veda Jagati Drisham. That if you are captured, when we say all these things, we have to connect it with Krishna. In other words, going back to Sushupti state and experiencing that Chit Shakti means Krishna Graha Grihi Dalma. That is, you have been captured by the soul, in other words. The soul has taken control, not the body anymore. That's what it means. Krishna Graha Grihi Dalma Na Veda Jagati Drisham. If you remain like that, we won't know about this world, what goes on in this world. We will not be affected by, influenced by the Maya or Na Veda Jagati Drisham. This world will not influence us. That's what he says here. Nishamya Gidam Tadananga Vardhanam Vrajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasam Ajagmuranyonyam Alakshidodhyama Sayatragando Javalola Kundalaha. Verse 4. So here you can see that gopis are Vrajastriya. The word used there is Vrajastriya. Krishna Grihida Manasam. The gopis were such personalities. They were captured by Krishna, the soul. So they live in Vrajam, isn't it? Vrindavanam is known as Vrajam. And there is another word you will see in the Shastram, Parivrajam. Parivrajam. Parivrajam means they have no family, children, relatives and all that. That don't exist for them. That is what is known as Parivrajam. Parivrajam means that. And gopis have reached that state now. They have not taken officially sannyasam. But their state of consciousness is like that. They have no connection with the family or children or anything. Yadahareva Vrajet, Tadahareva Pravrajet. So, Yadahareva Vrajet, Tadahareva Pravrajet. About sannyasam, that is how it is spoken. That who has got that Yadahareva Vrajet, that Vrajanam. Vrajanam means that mentally they have been disconnected from the world. World is nothing but wife, children, family, all that, isn't it? Family and home, all such things. If a internally separation has happened in them, internally when the separation happens, one can take sannyasam. That's what the normal principle is. Yadahareva vrajay, tadhareva pravrajay. That is the principle. When inside that the separation has happened, attachment is broken inside, then sannyasam is allowed. So their mood is called parivrajam. Parivrajam. You know that when we say these prayers, Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajagacharya, we say all this. What does it mean? This is what it means. Parivrajam. Parivrajam has happened to him. So Parivrajagacharya, among the Parivrajas, their Acharya. When we say about Prabhupada, isn't it? We say Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajagacharya Shtotra Shri Shiman Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, like that we say, isn't it? So that word Parivrajam has come from this. That inside connection has broken with the world, like the gopis had. Gopis were living in the Vrajam, isn't it? And their activity is called Parivrajam. Parivrajam. So
Vrajastriya Krishna Grihida Manasam Ajagmu Anyonyam Alakshidodhyama Ajagmur Anyonyam Alakshidodhyama Sayatra Kando Javalola Kundalaha. So here you can see Ajagmur Anyonyam Alakshidodhyama Sayatra Kando Javalola Kundalaha. Yamuna river bank, Krishna is playing the flute and the sound of the flute goes and falls into the ear of every gopi in Vrindavanam. It goes and falls into the gopi's ear. And every gopi comes to Krishna at that point. You can also notice there, one gopi did not think about another gopi at that time. Did not think about another gopi at that time. What do we understand from that? From there you have to understand that in spiritual life you are on your own. That is what is pointing it to us. That one gopi did not think about another gopi at that time. That gopi, every gopi heard Krishna's playing flute. They did not discuss each other. As soon as they heard Krishna's flute, they went back to Krishna. They went to Krishna. Each one of them on their own. They did not even talk to each other and make together a plan to go together or anything like that. All of them went on their own. There is a reason why that is mentioned there in the Bhagavadam, to make us understand spiritual life is very much a personal thing. It is between the Jiva and Krishna. Jivalma and Paramatma. Between Krishna and the devotee. It's nobody else has any right to interfere in that relationship. If a second person gets involved in that, it will become socializing. Spiritual life will turn into social life. If a second person gets involved in your spiritual life, it is a personal thing between the devotee and Krishna. And in order to point out that, it is mentions here that every gopi heard the sound of the flute and they went back to Krishna. If you do not give importance to it, that is why the major problem in the world nowadays, what we experience, when we make it, we all have to do it together, then it turns out to be a completely different thing. You can't do it together. Our connection with Krishna is so direct that it is between you or between me and Krishna. Nobody else has any business to get involved in that, and it has to be left to yourself. That's the way it will work. It cannot work otherwise. So every time, there is never two people doing a spiritual life together. It's not possible. You can do so many things together. Socializing, yes. You can do get as many people as possible together and have your social life. But in spiritual life, it has to be alone. It has to be alone. Only then you will progress in spiritual life. Otherwise, it's not possible. It's not possible. Because here, you will see this in the Bhagavadam in many places. In the 11th canto, if you look, Ega eva charet kasmat kumarya ivakangana. Remember that when Dattatreya Maharshi was going around and he was learning so many different things from different personality, 24 spiritual masters, is it not? So during his journey, it is in the 11th canto, 9th chapter, Ega eva charet tasmat kumarya ivakangana, 10th verse. So there you will see that Dattatreya Maharshi is going around and he is learning different things from 5 material elements. He learned 5 different things: Prithivi, Vayu, Akasham, Apam, Agni, Chandra, the sun and the moon. Like that he gone on and on, and finally he came to the friend of one house where he started observing that house carefully, because suddenly a group of people came in a bullock cart. They arrived in the house. They got down from the house. So he sat there and he observed. He was sitting underneath the tree and he was observing what's going to happen here. Suddenly a group of people have come in a bullock cart and they all got down from the bullock cart and they were going into the house. So few minutes before they arrived, he heard that a girl in the house was pounding the grain to get the rice out from the husk. So when she was pounding that, she had bangles on both hands, many bangles on both hands, and it was making a lot of noise.
making a lot of noise. So she took out all the bangles, because when these visitors had come, she noticed that she understood what for they had come. She was intelligent. She knew. It so happened that day her parents were not at home. They had gone away somewhere on some business. They had gone to visit somebody or something like that. She was alone at home. So she didn't want them to know that she is alone, and she wanted to did not want to give them the impression that she has to do all the work at home, and wanted to keep herself in a very low profile at that time. So what she did, she removed all her bangles and left two bangles each on either hand, and then continued pounding. Suddenly she realized that even two bangles are making a noise. So she takes out one from both hands. There was only one bangle on either hand, on both the hands, one each. The Dattatreya Maharshi is sitting there and observing all these things, what happening. So he says there that she is very intelligent, that she understood that if there is only one, it is not causing any problem. It was not causing any problem. So she says there, I learned from that girl one important thing. Ega eva chare tasmat kumarya iva kangana, he says. Kumarya iva kangana. Just like that girl had only one bangle, it was not making any noise. When there were two bangles, still it was making noise. And when there were many bangles, it was making a lot of noise. Spiritual life is also like that. If you are on your own, there won't be much trouble. But if you have a two or three, there is little trouble. But you have a group, big trouble. It's a reality. You have to know this. Rishis, sages never allowed institutions. You know that. None of the sages. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a list of sages there mentioned. Mariji, Atri, Angiras, Pulastya, Pulaha, Krutu, Bragu, Vasishtan, Narada Maharshi, Shubhra Maharshi, Vishwamitra. Endless list of sages. They gave us Upanishads, but they never started any institution. Do you know that? Who started institution first time? Buddha. Buddha started institution. And Buddha had enough of it, and he threw the whole thing out and went away from there. That's what happened in Buddha's life. If you study Buddha's history, you will see this. He started the institution, and what did he do? He put everybody into it, gave them saffron clothes and sannyasam. And all. Actually, Buddha was not responsible for that. Lot of the followers have done that. Buddha himself didn't do that. But finally, Buddha had sufficient and had enough of it when they started fighting each other, the disciples. So he goes to the forest. He gave up everything. Buddha gave up everything, went to the forest. And there also disciples won't leave him. He told them not to come to the forest. And they follow. It's all there in the Buddha's history. If you read, you will see that. So, the thing is this, in Srimad Bhagavatam and in the case of the great rishis and sages, they have also mentioned Vrajastriya Anyonya Alakshido Odhyamaha. That is why it's mentioned here. Ajagmu Anyonyam Alakshido Odhyamaham. Very specifically, Sukha Brahmarshi says there this. Anyonyam Alakshido Odhyamaha. Not to talk to each other about what they are doing. Perfect about the spiritual life. Spiritual life is meant to be like that. Ajagmu anyonyam alakshido dhyamaha sayatra kandoja valola kundalaha. That this was the way gopis have. Gopis, of course, were not like us. They were executing their spiritual life like the way we do, isn't it? They have somehow or the other, with their good fortune, Krishna happened to come to them and they got attracted to Krishna. It was not a very planned spiritual life, in other words. No courses, seminars, nothing. They just happened to be there, Krishna came in the middle, got attracted to Krishna, and it all happened in the way it happened. That's how we have to understand that only in the modern world everything is so meticulously organized here, isn't it? So everything is so perfect. And and only in the spiritual life this won't work. This is the problem. All this planning and organizing and management and all this, we don't know what we want to do in spiritual life. We ourselves don't know. That's why all the problem comes from. Because we have been so much controlled by the modes that we think that that is how spiritual life should be. Everything should be well organized.
So anyway, ajagmo anyonyam alakshito udyamaha. That's why that word, ajagmo anyonyam alakshito udyamaha sayatra kando javalola kundalaha. That in order to stress that point, that is why it is mentioned that the that Krishna is mentioned here that one gopi does not know where the other gopi was going. Other gopi was going, and everybody is going somewhere. And if you carefully analyze the spiritual life in the spiritual world, in the spiritual field, all the mahatmas in the spiritual field, you will see they were always alone. They were always alone. They did everything alone. So, because you can't join two people and together do it. You cannot do it together. Also, you cannot show your path to somebody else. That's also not possible. Your path to somebody else. Even in sadhana, you cannot do it. So, if you try to do that, it will create confusion. It will create confusion. Because over a limit, if you try to make the same process for everybody, it will create confusion also. That is the way it works. That you have to experience yourself and see. Because each one of us, our vasanas are different, prarabdham is different, and our consciousness is different. And therefore, when you tie two people together in spiritual life, normally what happens is there will be a lot of confusion between the people. So that's why it's mentioned. Everyone sadhana also, one has to keep to oneself. So between the devotee and Krishna, that relationship, that is similar to that. Krishna Brajastriya Krishna Grihi Ramanasam. So just like in the Bhagavatam, you will see in the ninth canto. In the ninth canto, Krishna mentions this. If you look into the Ambarisha Charitram, Ambarisha story, in the fourth chapter, Ambarisha story, when you look, you will see Krishna puts it in a different way. He says that ninth canto, fourth chapter, verse 66. Mayi nirbaddha hridaya sadhava samadarshanaha vashi kurvandimam bhaktya salstriya salpadim yadha. There is a verse in the ninth canto. That ninth canto, which is the 4th chapter, 66th verse. Mayi nirbaddha hridaya sadhava samadarshanaha sadhava samadarshanaha vashikurvandimam bhaktya salstriya salpadim yadha. Those devotees, he is saying here, who are focusing their mind on me, and they are realized and equally placed with all other living entities in this world, they capture me exactly like a chaste wife takes control of her husband. Like a chaste wife takes control of her husband, satstriya satpadim yadha. Just like a chaste wife takes control of her husband, in vashi kurvandimam bhaktya, through bhakti, the pure devotees, they take control of me. They take control of me. Krishna is saying like that. Mayi nirbaddha hridaya sadhava samadarshanaha vashi kurvandimam bhaktya satstriya salpadim yadha. In Ambarisha's story, Krishna says that. So, similarly, like a chaste wife attracts her husband in the same way, devotees attract me, Krishna says. So, that relationship between the wife and the husband, that should not be discussed with others, isn't it? That is between the husband and the wife, that relationship between the husband and the wife is a very confidential thing. That is not to be discussed with other people or other places. Similarly, the relationship between the devotee and Krishna is also confidential. That is not to be discussed with everybody else. It's no need to discuss that. This is how spiritual life. In fact, to come to this understanding, we are on our own, is an important thing in life. Normally, in our ignorance, we think,
oh, I got my wife, I got my children, my family, this, friends, relatives. Every day, one day when the switch, when it is switched off, the whole thing is left here and gone from here. So it doesn't take a lot of intelligence to understand that, that you're on your own. In Maya, we think that all these things are around. Government is there, the police is there, and the society is there, friends are there, relatives are there, and the family is there. We think all these things do exist, isn't it? That's our misfortune, that we have put all our faith in all these things. And one day when when Yamaraj gives us the notice, we have to drop everything here, including the body, and go from here. So to show to us that actually our situation is that we are on our own. There is nobody else with us at any time. In the middle, all these things have happened. They have all come and they will also go also in the same way. But we never take that seriously. Why? Because when you come to spiritual life, that's the most important thing. Not to think that I have all these acquaintances in this world, they will also come with me to the spiritual world. So people talk about all these things, they'll say, in not understanding the principle of spiritual life. They say, we'll go to spiritual world and start an ishkan there. People are talking all these kind of things. So where this illusion has come? Why? They didn't read Bhagavatam. Ajagmo anyonyam alakshito dhyamaha. You cannot do it because as far as Krishna is concerned, living entity and Krishna, that is the only true relationship. All other relationship is false in this world. We have not understood that. That's why we are making, here an institution is running. Why not an institution, another branch there in the spiritual world as well? This is how people are thinking, isn't it? Lot of people are in this misconception about it. Why? They have not understood spiritual life, what it is. Some illusion in their head thinking that that everything can be together. No. In spiritual life, no. It is on your own. You are on your own in spiritual life. You have to do it because you can't bring two people together. Another person, different vasana, different prarabdham, and what destination that's going to go, that subtle body, nobody knows. Our subtle body, our vasana, our prarabdham, again different. We won't know what that person is going. You can see this sometimes. It's interesting. Some people get married and 50 years they together, they got married and they live 50 years as husband and wife, and then they will celebrate that, isn't it? 50 years marriage, 60 years marriage, platinum or jubilee or whatever, golden and platinum and all that, they say that, isn't it? And this golden, platinum, everything one day, boom, gone. Gold has gone its way, platinum gone its way. So what an illusion this is, isn't it? So you can see there that everything in one drop of a thing, it's finished. It's gone. Then husband has gone after 50 years or 60 years married, he has gone his way. She has gone her way. Where is that connection then after that? Some people say they'll go and get married there also after that. I don't know about that. Shastram doesn't say anywhere any such thing. The jiva finished its karmam, prarabdham, it goes its way. Each jiva has to go its own way. But we think that that is all real, isn't it? That is a great illusion we have in our head. In spiritual life, we are on our own. That is, acceptance that is important, because otherwise you can't do your sadhana properly in spiritual life to make that progress. If you try to drag everybody with you in your spiritual life, you will also notice that you're not going anywhere, getting anywhere. Ajagmo anyonyam alakshitodhyamaha. Alakshitodhyamam. That the gopis also, because their relationship with Krishna was such that as soon as they heard Krishna's flute, they went. They didn't look for anybody else, they didn't talk about it. So the reason here is the relationship between Krishna and the devotee is very confidential. It's a very confidential. It's a secret. And therefore, it is, because it is secret, it is sacred. Because it is secret, it is sacred. And only if it is secret, only if it is secret, it will be pavitram. Pavitram means it will be sacred. Only if it is secret, it is sacred. You have to analyze this in your own way and you will get to know the understanding behind it. So, and everything that is sacred is secret. Everything that is sacred is sacred. So if something is sacred, if you bring it out into the open world, it will become debauch. It will become debauch. It is not to be discussed in the open. It is not to be discussed in the open. That is the principle. Everything that is sacred should not be discussed in the open. It will become debauch then. You can see this when we start discussing Krishna's rasa dance, how often people will misunderstand things and they will interpret it in so many different false ways, and without properly understanding Krishna's position, Gopi's position, and they give their own interpretation of that, and that causes why it is a very sacred thing, this rasa dance. And anything that is sacred is a secret. There is a secret in there. So that's what is mentioned there. So similarly, anything that is ashleelam means that anything that is debauch, that is, if you cover it up, it is not going to become sacred. It's not going to become sacred. So what is sacred, if you make it into the open, it will become a bad thing. It will become a bad thing. Adhyatmam, spiritual life, sadhana is all like that. Sadhana is all like that. So devotees, because of this, those who are advanced in spiritual life, they execute their sadhana within in confidential level. In a confidential way, they execute their sadhana also. So sometimes devotees, they go into, in India of course, it's when there's a lot of mosquitoes, you put a mosquito net, isn't it? And they sit inside the mosquito net and chant the holy name, and chant the holy name. They're not concerned, others doesn't have to know that they are chanting. So sometimes you'll also notice that they walk around like the materialist. A devotee may move around in this world like a materialist. So it is like that. That's the way spiritual life is. In the Lalita Sahasranamam, thousand names of Lalita Devi, there is a Lalita Devi is identified with what? Identified with Brahma Vidya, isn't it? Spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge. So therefore, one of the mantram in the Lalita Sahasranamam is Rahastarpana Tarpidaye Nama. Rahastarpana Tarpidaye Nama. That's how she is offered flowers. That means that all the offerings that is made to her, which pleases her, because she is a very confidential person who spiritual knowledge, always hides from everybody. She remains aloof from everyone. Rahasyam. Rahasya means confidential. Rahastarpana tarpidaye nama. Offering flowers to her with this mantram. Rahasyam tarpana tarpidaye nama. I offer these flowers to you because you are a very confidential person. Spiritual knowledge is very confidential. It's not an open thing to be discussed in the streets. So, in other words, only in confidentiality, if you make an offering to her, she is pleased. It is the nature of the Lalita Devi. Lalita Devi's Lalita Sahasranamam says like that. Then, so it is that Lalita Devi is also known as Haladini. You might have studied this somewhere. In the books, you will mention this. Samvit Haladini potency. Haladini. Haladini potency said is that she is addressed as coming from the Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti is that. Chit Shakti comes out and we address her in various names, under different names. Lalita Devi, Lalitambiga, Jagadambiga, Sharada. These are all her names. The spirit Chit Shakti's names, different names, or Radharani. They are all nothing but the same thing. Radharani, Sharada, Chit Shakti, Lalitambiga, Jagadambiga, they are all addressing to the same person. Chit Shakti's personification they are. Personification they are. Whatever name you may call them, that Chit Shakti has taken a form and comes in these different names. And Krishna uses the word Brahmi in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna uses the word Brahmi. Krishna also uses the word Sharada. If you have noticed the word, somewhere you will see in the 10th canto. Different appearances of appearances of the Sri Parvati's presence in this world, she has been given different names there, isn't it? Ambiya, Sharada, all sorts of different names are mentioned there in the, it is in the 10th canto. If you look there, you will see there that different names she is known. But some of the names are very famous. Some of the names are very famous. So, here, before Krishna's appearance, Krishna asked the Yogamaya to come to this world and transfer Lord Balaram from the womb of Devaki Devi to Rohini. Yogamaya did that, isn't it? And also says to her that the later on she can take birth in different places and she will be worshipped by the people under different names. Under different names, isn't it? So that is what you will see there. Namadheya in the second chapter, in the 10th canto, 11th verse. Namadheyani kurvandi sthanani chanara bhuvi durgedi badragaledi vijaya vaishnavi iti cha kumuda chandiya krishna madhavi kanyagedi cha maya narayani ishani sharade ambigedi cha. All these are her names. All these are her names. That she has been told that you will be worshipped by these different names at different places. Kumada, Chandiga, Krishna, Madhavi, Kanyaga, Maya, Narayani, Ishani, Sharada, Ambiga, Durga, Badragali, Vijaya, Vaishnavi. All these are her different names given there. So, whatever it is, name doesn't matter because it is that Chit Shakti who is coming like that. So, that bhakti, in other words, Sharada, she is bhakti. Bhakti is that Chit Shakti. Bhakti is that Chit Shakti. What does bhakti mean? Bhakti means, from that Chit Shakti, we experiences what is known as bliss, anandam, isn't it? So, ananda anubhavam, experience of that anandam or bliss, that's coming from that Chit Shakti, is called bhakti. It's called bhakti. We have to move on to a different plane. Remember, we discussed this in the last session also. Bhakti, don't mix it with our sadhana in this world. This is a completely different topic. This bhakti, what comes from that Chit Shakti, bhakti that comes from Chit Shakti, brings along with that anandam or happiness. Not right word is not happiness, it is that bliss that comes from that. That is bhakti. That is bhakti. So, that ananda anubhavam, experience of that bliss inside, which is coming from the Chit Shakti, and as long as you allow that to the world, as soon as you bring it to the world, where advertisement and propaganda and all these things exist. In the mundane world, material world, advertisement and propaganda is important. Isn't it? That's how mundane world thrives. It thrives through advertisement and propaganda. Isn't it? We think that advertisement propaganda is the right way in spiritual life as well. And that's where all the problem starts. So, advertisement propaganda is in the world of false ego and also pride inside and external world. And their importance is recognition in this world. Is it not? Is it not? Why do we advertise? Why do we propagate? Because of this reason, the false ego inside, we feel we will give, the false ego is dictating to us from inside that we have to make a propaganda and we have to make this spiritual life as a very public affair. Very public affair. And as long as it is in that world, this rahasyam or confidential nature of Chit Shakti will not come, will not happen. This is the problem. That is why very great sadhana, when you come to the very higher level, that person will have nothing to do with this world. He goes to his own world. You can't conduct your spiritual life with the whole world involved in that. It's not possible. It's not possible. That's where the difficulty comes. In the okay, if at one stage you may engage in all propaganda and other things, but as you realize that the Rehastarpana Tarpidaye Nama, then Sharada or Ambiga or Narayani, Ishani, Maya, whichever way you address her, Radha or Lalitambiga in many names, whichever way you address her, she is that Chit Shakti. And that Chit Shakti is very reserved, very reserved. She doesn't want to be used in the mundane advertisement and propaganda world. She will not allow you to do that. If you start doing that with her, she withdraws from there. In other words, if you completely absorb in propaganda and this world of external world recognition, everything, she won't be present there. She will not come to that. This is the difficulty. Great, great devotees, if you look into their life, you will see this. Then everybody thinks in this world, we have to preach and change the whole world, isn't it? As though I have come to this world with a mission. And somebody is saying, you have to have a mission within the mission. Even that is being spoken about. What is your mission within the mission, they say. It looks as though Krishna has sent us here all with some particular mission to change, do some things in this world. She knows better. She can handle this whole world, not one world, many worlds like this. She has said that to Kamsa, didn't she? So, the important thing is, as long as you bring her, that spiritual knowledge, Brahmavidya, into this world and dilute it in this world of karmi world or whatever mundane world of pride and false ego, she withdraws from there. She won't be there. That is why it's mentioned, Rahastarpana Tarpidaye Nama. She will not get involved in that. She doesn't want that. Doesn't like it. So, when for us, when it's not important anymore, recognition in this world, or anything in the world outside is not important anymore, that is when that Ananyam Alakshadodhyamaha, Anyonyam Alakshadodhyamaha. To come to that state is not easy. Because we are so used to this recognition in the world, and also we have this false ego inside, I am changing this world. If I don't do it, who will do it? All these illusions in the head. Is it not? So, here, to come to this state, what the gopis are talking about, Anyonyam Ajagmu Anyonyam Alakshidodhyamaha. To come to that state is not easy. To come to that state is not easy. They have gone through so much in their life that at this point in time in their life, they have come to understand that the only truth is Krishna. You will see in the discussion from now on how they are repeatedly saying to Krishna. Krishna is telling them to go back to worldly life again. In the Bhagavatam, the many verses from now on, Krishna is telling them to go back to their family life, to their mundane life, everything. Gopis are telling Krishna exactly opposite. That if this is all true, how can we go back to that? We have left that world long ago. Gopi says to Krishna, Ajagmu Anyonyam Lalakshidodhyamaha. So that is why as long as we are busy in the world of propaganda and false pride and recognition, when all that is important, that at that time it is difficult to come to this state of Alakshadodhyama. What Sukha Brahmarshi says here. Here the gopi's relationship is, one gopi does not know what the relationship of the other gopi is with Krishna. One gopi does not know the relationship of the other gopi with Krishna. So, and she is not interested either in the other gopi's relationship with Krishna. She is not interested either. Similarly, a devotee also, for him and his relationship with Krishna, it is a relationship within the heart. It's a relationship within the heart. And there, in that relationship, only the devotee and Krishna exist. Krishna exists. Nobody else is there. Nobody else is there. So that's why many devotees have spoken like this, that if I am absorbed in the Krishna's thoughts or absorbed in my service to Krishna, whether the sun rises in the east or it rises in the west, what does it matter? It says, what does it matter. And if he appears in the north or south or east or west, it does not matter, because I'm not seeing the sun anymore. In other words, the consciousness are moved away from the body and the senses. So everything, what is happening in the world outside, they are not aware of. Ajagmu anyonyam alakshido dhyamaha. Krishna says there, isn't it? Gopis are, Subrahma Sri says, Ajagmu anyonyam alakshido dhyamaha. That word, that line signifies all these things. Ajagmu anyonyam alakshido dhyamaha. Why did he say this? Only for this reason, to make us understand, in spiritual life, you have to be on your own. There is nobody else with you in spiritual life. In material life, yes, you got your team, you got your mentors, you got your so many things. And they think that it is, that's how spiritual life has to run. No, spiritual life doesn't run like that. If it is like that, we take the Bhagavatam away then. Ajagmo anyonyam alakshido dhyamaha sayatra kando javalola kundalaha. Then what we have to learn from Bhagavatam is these things. What was the relationship between the devotee and Krishna? And Shukam Brahmarshi took special pain to mention this in the Bhagavatam, that you don't run your spiritual life like, we are so institutionalized, we cannot live without an institution. Crazy after that. And think that we have to be controlling others all the time, every minute, every second. And then the politics starts from there. And then fight. This is what goes on nowadays in the world. Is it not? Everywhere you see the same thing. They think that we are all together. We are all in it together, they say, isn't it? The same principle they are bringing to spiritual life. We are all in it together. We are not in together. We are separate in this. We are on our own in this. If we are all together, we will be all living this world together. We are not living the world together, are we? We are all living at different times. We didn't come to this world together. So why in spiritual life you have to make it all together? Where is this misunderstanding coming from? It's coming because of lack of proper understanding from Bhagavatam. They have not understood. Why Sukadeva Goswami specifically mentions here, Ajagmu anyonyam alakshido dhyamaha. That they don't want this interference each other. In spiritual life, we are on our own between the devotee and Krishna. Nobody else can involve in that. Whereas on the other hand, in the modern world, we love it, this institutionalized situation. Is it not? We like it together. And they'll give you all sorts of explanations to it in their own way. People who haven't understood the principle behind it. So, anyway, here, you will see here that So, Nasayatragando Javalola Kundalaha says, Shukam Brahmarshi says there, Sayatragando Javalola Kundalaha. The gopis are coming back to Krishna in wearing the kundalam on their earrings and everything. They look so, but their purpose was that they wanted to dress up nicely so that Krishna is pleased with them. And they dressed very well and they came to Krishna in that way. So, in their world, only Krishna exists. And they have forgotten everything else. You will see there in the next verse, in the fifth verse. Duhyandyobhyayuvaschil doham hitva samulsagaha payodhi shrityasam yavam anudvasya parayayum. Duhyandyobhyayuvaschil doham hitva samulsagaha payodhi shrityasam yavam anudvasya parayayum. Some gopis were milking the cows. They left it there and they ran to Krishna, hearing the flute. Some gopis were boiling the milk. The milk was on the cooker or on the oven, wherever they were boiling the milk. And some, it says here, samyavam anadvasya parayayu payodishritya samyavam. Samyavam means wheat. So, they were cooking the wheat, milk was boiling, And they left all that thing and they ran away on their own to Krishna.
Pariveshayanda staddida payayanda shishun paya shushrushandya padin kaschil asnandya opasya bhojanam.
Next verse. Sixth verse. Pariveshayanda
staddidhva payayanda shishun paya aham. Some of them were getting dressed. They left it there halfway and they ran. And payayandya shishun payaha. Some of them were feeding the milk to the babies. They left the babies there and they went. Shushrushande padin kaschal. Some of them were engaged in the service to their husbands. They left them there and they went. Asnandyo apasya bhojanam. And some others were having their food and they left that also and they went away.
Limbandya pramujandyonya anjandya kaschalochane vyatyasta vastra bharana kaschal krishnandiyam yayum.
And some of them were bathing, massaging oil on their body, and some of them were decorating, and some of them were dressing and wearing their jewelry and other things. They have not even care to put it properly, but they ran back towards Krishna.
Limbandya pramujandyonya anjandya kaschalochane vyatyastra vastra bharana kaschal krishnandiyam yayum. Ta varyamana padavi pidrubar bhradru bandhubhi govinda avakrida almano nanya vartanda mohidaha.
Because ta varyamana padavi pidrubar bhradru bandhubhi, pidrubar bhradru bandhubhi, neither by their parents nor by their brothers or by their relatives or by their husbands, padibhi, all of them tried to block them, but when they heard the voice of the flute, they left them all and they could not stop them from going.
Andar grihagada kaschal gopyo balabdha vinirgamaha krishnam dad bhavana yuktam dadhyur melitalochanaha.
Because they were absorbed in Krishna to that extent and they were stopped from going, that some of them could not come out and they sat there and then absorbed completely in Krishna. They absorbed, thought about Krishna. In other words, they were in total meditation of Krishna at that time. So, at that point in the Bhagavatam mentions like this, that some of them have wrongly put their different jewelry at wrong places, and what they have to put it on the ears, they put it on the nose, and what they have to put it on the nose, they put it on their neck, and things like that. And even with the clothes what they were wearing, they were not conscious of that, because thinking about Krishna, they have forgotten everything. Krishna grihita manasa, they have forgotten everything. So this is the important thing. That in a devotee's life, why I'm saying this is, earlier Sudev Goswami mentioned this, alakshidodhyama, anyonyam alakshidodhyama. What will happen to a person who is in advanced state of Krishna consciousness? It's very difficult to say. That's why I'm saying, two people cannot do it together throughout the spiritual life. At some point, they will have to move away from the other person, because he has to go on his own. When Krishna takes control, everything becomes his own affair, not between anybody else. Why they are saying all these things in the Bhagavatam is to point out to us that don't try to generalize spiritual life or make it in a institutional affair. To think that in spiritual life it is a personal thing between the devotee and Krishna. Even if you try to do it, it will not last very long. But very soon it will fall away from that relationship. And you can see that in the Bhagavatam, like the Dattatreya Maharshi talks about that. Everybody, if you take, you will see they were on their own. The Dattatreya Maharshi was on his own, wasn't he? And you can see Jadabirla was on his own. Who was there with him? Everybody was against him. He was on his own. Rishabhadeva was on his own, was he not? They were all on his own. And similarly, gopis also, although right now in the Bhagavatam they present it as gopis present in Vrindavanam, individually they all had their own relationship with Krishna.
And the same thing, so they will not know what will happen to them at that state in spiritual life. They won't even know what will happen to them. You can see this, if you remember, in the 13th chapter in the 11th canto when we discussed, you will notice there that Krishna mentions there some interesting things, that the, yeah, in the 13th chapter, verse 36 and 37, we are so used to working together in groups, isn't it? We love that, together in groups and company and association and society and all sorts of, these are all modern things in this world. As I mentioned before, the first person started a spiritual institution is Buddha, which is way much, much later after the time of the sages. Upanishads, sages time, everything was individual, very much a personal thing, very much a personal thing. They didn't cultivate this style. But from Buddha's time onwards, you see what has happened. From Buddha's time onwards, Buddha himself paid a heavy price for it later. That's why Buddhism came later. It's not from Buddha. Buddhism, the ism, started by the followers. They made it institutions and started realizing. And then after that, Christianity, Islam, and many other religions followed, and they all started seeing that the strength is in the number. Strength is in the number together. And they feel that they are all going back home, back to Godhead. Everybody is, because the number wise we are big, so we should be going back because we are big number. And they say every year so many people are joining our faith, or so many people are leaving another faith. This way they are justifying all these things. What good is it? Because when you come to the spiritual platform, your bodily identity you have to drop. If you are not able to drop and you are still going on with your bodily identity and saying that this religion is growing, that religion is growing, what good is it at the end? It's all waste of time, isn't it? So, but in this world, it may help all these things, that if you organize it together as a group, you can fight for your benefits in this world, or some concessions from the government, or some recognition in the society. But if you come to Krishna consciousness seriously, these are the very things you have to drop first. If you try to drag them all into Bhagavatam, you will be completely confused. Gopis didn't start any organization. Did you notice that? They had no temple president, GBC and all that. Gopis never had one. Gopis only knew Krishna, nothing else. That's all their organization, finished with that. Krishna and the Gopi, nothing else apart from that. So, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, it's like this. Deham janashwaram avastidam uttidam vasiddho na pashri yadadhagamal swarupam deivadabedam udam deivavashadubedam vasoyada parikritam madhiramadhandha. 36. Deham janashwaram avastidam uttidam vam. This body is nashwaram, is temporary. Don't identify with it under any circumstances. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Deham janashwaram avastidam uttidam vam. It has come and it will go. This is spiritual life. To know that body has come and body will go. It is not going to stay. That's why it's temporary. Siddho na pashyati yadad agamat swarupam. Siddho na pashyati yadad agamat swarupam. Then, even with this, inside this body, while living within this body, you are realizing the truth. Isn't it? You are realizing the truth while sitting in this body. But what Krishna is saying here, the real person who is progressing in the spiritual path, he will try to forget this body as quickly as possible. He does not try to keep this body in his head all the time. Dehanjam ashwaram avastidam uttidam va siddhona bhashani yadadhyagamal swarupam. Why? Deivadabedam uda deivavashadubedam. This body has come to me, we discussed this many times before. Why? Material nature has put this cloth on me. And deivadabedam uda deivavashadubedam. Deva means here material nature, Prakriti. Prakriti has put this dress on me and Prakriti will take it back. I should know that. We should know that. We should know that material nature has put this dress on me. Material nature will take it away from me. Instead, what do we do? I am this body, I think this, and if a lot of people with a similar body, we can start one group and institution and all together we can go back home, back to Godhead. Devavadam, Devadavedam, Devavashaduvedam, Vasoyada Parikritam Madhiramathandhaham. That just like he says here, that he thinks about this body only to that limit, just like a person who is drunk, when he loses his clothes on the way back from the pub or from anywhere he comes on the way back, he loses different things. Sometimes he loses his clothes, sometimes his hat, sometimes his gloves, sometimes his wallet, or so many things he loses on the way. He is not conscious of anything, isn't it? It is the same way this body we have to leave here one day. Vasoyada parikritam madhiramathandaham. And Krishna is saying to us through that example that be aware of all these things in spiritual life. So therefore, to relate with someone on a bodily level and to develop a relationship on that level and starting an institution and organization and trying to think that spiritual life will go together all, it's not going to happen. It will remain in that state only. One day or the other, you have to break up from all that. It cannot stay. Initially, it may be a help. It may be a help initially. But sometime or the other, as soon as you have become serious about self-realization and Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is addressing us this way. Vaso yada parikrito madhiram adhandaha. That at that point, you have to drop this identity with the body and identity with the other things. Why? Deho vidaiva vasham. Deho vidaiva vasham khalu karmayaval. This body has only one meaning. What is that? Deho bi deva shakam. Material nature is in control of this. Ghelu karma yavan. And so long as my prarabdham has to finish, it will stay. It will only stay that long till the prarabdham is run out. Once the prarabdham runs out, the body will go. Swarambhagam prati samikshadam eva sasum. Swarambhagam prati samikshadam eva sasum. That here again, tam saprabanjam adhirooda samadhi yogam swapnam punarna bhajate pratibuddha vastu. So, once you have reached that state of samadhi or self-realization, in other words, that he knows that anything related to this body and body or anything related to that body, he will not think about it anymore. Exactly like the which way? Swapnam punarna bhajade pratibuddha vastu. Just like when you wake up from a dream, you don't keep thinking about that dream anymore, isn't it? The dream is not important anymore. Why? Because you know it's a dream. Therefore, you don't give any value to it anymore. You just come out of the dream and it is dropped there itself with the dream. Similarly, when self-realization happens and spiritual life, when one advances, when you started realizing the truth, it is something different than all these things, what we are experiencing in this world, a stage will come, tam saprabanjam adhinudam samadhi yogaha, that in a state of samadhi, this prabanjam, this world, is dropped along with the body. Along with the body and the world, everything is dropped here at that point. Saprabanjam adhinudam samadhi yogam swapnam. Because it is a dream, up to that point it was a dream that I am this body, this society, this world, this social life, all this is real, and in that illusion we lived. But when this realization happens, that's what Krishna is saying there. Tam saprabanjam adhinuda samadhi yogaha swapnam. It is a dream. Punar bhajade. He will not take that anymore seriously. Pratibuddha vastu. Because that vastu, what he is looking for, is something different from here. So, we'll stop there a few minutes and continue in 10 minutes time or so. So, those two verses in the 11th canto, 13th chapter, where Krishna is saying that
Deham cha nashwaram. Material body is a temporary thing. And avasthidam utthidam va siddho vipashyate yada adhyagamat swarupam devadubedamada devavashadubedam vaso yada parikritam madhiramathandhaha. Those two verses which are in the 13th chapter, you will see them in the third canto also. The same two verses. Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi. Exactly the same two verses. Kapila Vasudeva spoke to Devahuti Devi and Krishna has spoken the same verses to Uddhava also. So you can see that important thing. Deham jadam najaram asthidam uttidam va siddho vibhashyate yada adhyagamal swarupam devad ubedamada devavashad abedam vaso yatha parikritam madhira madhandaham dehobi devavashakam khalu karmayavan swarambhagam pratisamikshatameva sasu tam saprabanjam adhiruda samadhi yogam swapnam punarna bhajade pratibuddha vastu. Krishna's logic is just like when we wake up from the dream state, as much as we completely forget everything what we dreamt, isn't it? Because it has no meaning. What we dreamt, it's gone. We dropped them there. Similarly, Krishna says here that deho bi deva vashakam galu karma yavan, that all the material body, human, our material body, and all the expansions from this body, wife, children, and all that, khalu karma yaval saram bhagam pratisamikshatameva sasu, that till the prarabdham is over, under the control of the prarabdham, this body will stand like this. The body will stand like this. What I am saying all this is that we have never developed a habit of thinking independent of this body. On the other hand, all these arrangements what we make in this world simply increases the bodily identity and identity with various false things. You can analyze yourself and you will recognize this. That Krishna is saying, Dehobi Deva Shakam Khalu Karma Yavad, that Swarambhagam Prati Samikshadam Eva Sasu, that this Deham, this Shariram, this body, Deva Shakam, that has been given to us by the material nature. We are not seeing the basics. We are always seeing the convenience, what suits us in this world, as to survive in this world. That's what we are looking at, isn't it? We are looking at in this world by being organized and being together. We are in a better position or more strength, position of strength, in other words, to bargain rights or our benefits, whatever it is. So, because of it is, these things are forgotten. These things are not taken into account. Krishna is saying to us, Dehobi Deva Vashakam. Devam is the reason behind it. Material nature has given us this body. Khalu karma yavad prabhanj swarambhagam. That karma has started this. It started because prarabdham has brought this body and it started its work. When prarabdham is finished, the body will drop and go. And swarambhagam prati samikshadam eva sasu. And knowing that all the time and being conscious of that is more important than any other institution or any other kind of organization in this world. They have no meaning. They are not, nowhere in the Bhagavatam all those things are discussed very much. So tam saprabanjam adhiruta samadhi yogam swapnam vinarda bhajade pratibuddha vastu. So when realization comes, Krishna is saying here, all these body and bodily identities, which means children, wife and relations and all that, he will not look at it anymore as his own. So therefore, both in the third canto as well as in the 11th canto, Krishna mentions this. A person who has taken a little bit of intoxication, and when he goes away, if his clothes floats off, then similarly, for a person who is realizing the truth, he will not even know that his body has gone away, body has dropped off. He won't even come to know about it.
and this is the nature of the body. And that whether the body is there or the body has fallen off, he won't know about it, he says here. And that is that state which you read in the sixth verse there. In the sixth verse, you can see that that state of the gopis, they have come to that state. That he says there, Parivesayandastadriyo payayanda shishun payam shishrushanda padin kaschil asnando vasya bhojanam. Parivesayandastadhitva payayandya pashishun payaha shishrushanda padin kaschil asnando vasya bhojanam. Then, just to give us an indication, how the gopis were in that state when they have lost their identity with the body. That is why they were able to do it. All those things what they did was not done on a planned basis. Do you know what I'm saying? They didn't do it on a planned basis. Oh, now that Krishna's flute is, I'm hearing the flute, so I'm leaving everything and going. It didn't happen like that. It happened in a natural way. Why? Bodily identity has lost. That's what has happened to them. When they lost a bodily identity, they did not think anymore, this is my husband, this is my children, this is the food I am cooking for them, or I am milking the cow. All the identity with the body has gone from them. That's what has happened to them. That is how we have to understand that. Whereas normally we will think, oh, look at this, how gopis did that, I should also do the same thing. And we start doing that, it will be a mockery of the whole thing. Is it not? How it happened to them, that is how we have to understand that. When they lost their bodily identity and when they came to close realization of their relationship with Krishna, these things left them. They didn't leave it, they left them. All the identity with the body left them inside. That is why they are saying here, Parivesayandya sthidva payayandya shishun payaham. That, can you imagine a mother leaving the child who was feeding the feeding the milk to the baby, that she left the baby there and went? Why? Which is very difficult to imagine in a normal life, isn't it? In this world, we think that is a highly impossible thing to happen. But it has happened. Why is that? There is no connection with the body anymore. Gopis have gone beyond the body. Bodily identity has lost. Shishro Shandepadin Kaschil Asnandya Vasya Bho Janam. Then similarly there are other services in the house, the husbands and others, and even what they were having food, they left it there and gone away from there. So, so when you look at it from one angle, from the morals of this world, according to Dharmam, it's all wrong. Is it not? Everything what they have done is against Dharmam, according to Dharmam. But here, Dharmam has no value at this stage now. Here, it has caused born beyond the Dharmam. What we have to understand is, whenever people talk about Dharmam, Dharmam is also up to a level only. After a certain stage, you gone beyond the Dharmam. Why? That is what they are going to talk about. They have no time to think about that. And so they have completely lost that connection with the on a bodily level, with the children, with the husband, with the relatives, everybody. That's what has happened to them. So they left the child, payayandya shishun paya. And those who are feeding the husband, they have stopped that and they went because they heard the flute, sound of the flute. And while they were serving the food also, where they have served the food, we don't know. Everything can go wrong when you come to spiritual life. In your material life, everything will go wrong. In your material life, everything will go wrong when you come to spiritual life. So you will notice this, that in spirit material life, you will do everything in a very nice way, because all your attention is focused on what you are doing here, isn't it? But when self-realization happens, the attention for the body and bodily activities will leave, will go away. And that's why you have to take care, notice of this bhavam or this mood of the gopis. You have to give a lot of attention there. Whenever Krishna consciousness becomes very serious, at that point everything goes away, everything drops. All your ability in this world to do various things, everything will go. And that is why you will see there in the seventh verse what Krishna says there. What Sukadeva Goswami says there in the seventh verse. He says there that the that limpandya pramrajandyonya anjandya kaschalochane vyatyasta vastra bharana kaschil krishnandigam yayu limpandya pramrajandyanya anjandya kaschalochane vyatyasta vastra bharana kaschil krishnandigam yayu. Says there that one gopi was decorating her eyes and another gopi was washing her face, and by mistake she has changed everything. She did not know which one to apply where. Such mistakes normally doesn't happen, is it not? But here in Gopi's case, everything got mixed up. They couldn't do things properly. Everything they have forgotten. So just like you can see this in the case of devotees often. Tukaram could not run his shop, could he? He couldn't run his shop. And when he was running the shop, he was chanting the holy name. And at that time, people will come to get things from the shop. And he is busy in chanting. He could not attend to the customer. So customers took what they wanted and they left. Customers came. He didn't know anything what was going on. Because sometimes when the shops are open and he is absorbed in chanting the holy name, just like what has happened to the gopis, the same situation happened to him. So what he used to do, without even closing down the shop, he will go to Pandapur to see the deity, Krishna there, So sometimes he will get very late to come back, and he has forgotten that he has not locked the shop while he was leaving to go to Pandapur. So, he, as soon as Tukaram got into that mood of chanting the holy name and Nama Sankirtanam, chanting the, in the association with, he will immediately take his tamburu or veena and then walk away from the shop. And so at that time, many others will come, who have come to the shop, they'll take what they want and they'll go also. Because at that particular time, there was a famine and there was shortage of food. And when that situation comes, dharmam, adharmam, all doesn't exist anymore. When you are starving, when there is really come to that state of starvation, all this, you can see this in the time when, today we will talk about, oh, is that right thing to do? Has done a wrong thing. But say for example, if such a situation develops in the society, where there is a shortage of, severe shortage of food, or essential things, immediately you will see all your so-called dharmam, adharmam, everything just out through the window, gone. People will do what they want because body is demanding food, and immediately what matters at that time is food, not dharmam. So, evening time, wife used to come and she will see the shop is empty. People have come and taken away everything from there. And they know, she knows that husband has gone somewhere. And what she used to do, and she might have gone with those devotees or gone to Pandharpur by hearing to chant the holy name and gone with them. So she will lock it up and go home. This has to have, this has happened many times in Tukaram's life. So, and sometimes after many days, Tukaram will come back home. And there will be, they were starving at home. So, if you look at Tukaram and start judging Tukaram, is he following the religious principles properly? That is he following the path of dharmam? Is he not doing adharmam? That question will come at that time. Here there is no dharmam, there is no adharmam. Because he did not do it deliberately. Just like the gopis did not do it deliberately. When they heard the flute sound, Krishna's sound of the flute, immediately they lost their bodily identity. That's what has happened. They could not think of them, their own body anymore. And therefore they have forgotten everything. And you will see that in the verse 7 and 8 is what, that's what is mentions there. That in the 7th and 8th verse you can see that limbandya pamrjandya anya anjandya kaschalo chani vyatyastha vastra bharana kaschal krishna andigam yuyum tavaryamana pratibhi pitrapar bradru bandhubhi govinda apahridalmano nanyavartandamohidah tavaryamana pratibhi pitrapar bradru bandhubhi govinda apahridalmano nanyavartandamohidah. By attracted by Krishna's flute, they could not be stopped by anybody. Why? Krishna's flute means, if you hear Krishna's flute, identity with the body goes. Bodily identification is gone with that. That's what has happened. So, all others have tried to stop them, but they could not stop them. Because, normally it is like that. Father, brothers, relatives, all of them, they will never allow you to advance in spiritual life. That is the normal norm in this, the standard in this world. All of them, whether it is parents, whether it is brothers, sisters, or the relatives, all of them, they will not allow that bhakti to develop. They will say, up to a limit it's okay, but we have to have our social life as well. Up to a limit, they will say. So, or they will tell you, after retirement, after you have finished all your family responsibilities, everything. Not now, they'll say like that. So, Vayamana Padibi, naturally, this is what has happened to them. All others objected gopis leaving home at that time. But they didn't stop there, did they? They went. They didn't. That's what 8th verse is saying. That if you look into the 8th verse, you will see there. That's very important. Govindam apahrida almanam. That they have been stolen. Krishna's flute has stolen their soul. The soul has left this body. Govinda apahrida almanam. Because the soul Krishna has taken control of their souls. Nanya vartanda mohidaha. They were not fallen into that illusion that they have been caught by the illusion that they have affected by the relations or friends or anything like that in them anymore. So they didn't happen. That is why you will see in Bhajagovindam prayers also. Salsangatve nisangatvam. Gopis had salsangam with Krishna. In that process what happened? Nisangatvam has happened to them. Nisangada. Nisangada means this freedom from attachment has happened to them. And what happened the result of that? Nisangatve nirmohatvam. They were freed from the illusion. Moham means illusion. Illusion means what? All this. At the moment we have this strong illusion in our mind that the bodily relationships in this world, attachments, everything is real and that is very important for us, isn't it? So, nisangatya nirmohatvam. When nisangada happens inside, nirmohatvam happens. Nirmohatvam means freedom from this illusion. These things don't go away very easily. That is why nisangatvam, salsangatya nisangatvam. From salsangam, Krishna salsangam, gopis developed nisangada. Nisangada has come to them due to the salsangam, due to association with Krishna. That is how it has happened. Gopis were ordinary people like us in this world. They were not very advanced in shastram, study of shastram, education or anything like that. They were ordinary people who lived, maintained their life by selling milk and butter and all that, isn't it? So looking at them, how did this happen to them? This kind state of consciousness, because due to association with Krishna, salsangat, Krishna talks about salsangam in the Bhagavatam, in the 12th chapter, in the 11th canto, isn't it? It's all about salsangam. Krishna gives the example there, not only the gopis, he says, and birds, animals, demons, all of them, Krishna says through salsangam, they have escaped from this world. They have escaped from this world. So, on the same principle, here also, through salsangam, gopis have reached this very higher state of Krishna consciousness. And what happened to them? Salsangatve nisangatvam. No more attachment to anything. Nisangada. Nisangana means freedom from attachment from this world. And due to that, what happened? Nirmohatvam, freedom from illusion also. Illusion gone away from them. So once you have Sangam with Krishna, and what will happen? The Sangam with the world will go. Sangam with the world will go. What will happen when Sangam with the world goes? Whatever happens in this world, you will not be influenced by the world. Illusion won't touch you. Illusion won't touch you. Nisangate nirmohatvam. Nirmohatve nischalatattvam. Nischalatattve jivanmukti. Nischalatattvam. What is nirmohatve nischalatattvam? Nischalatattvam means, it is at that time, they have started experiencing rasam. Or rasa dance, what they call it is rasa. Rasam, they started experiencing at that point. So, it is at that time, even though their relatives and all those who were related to them through the body, they have stopped them. But Govinda Abhakradalpana, Govinda Parirambhidaha. Govinda Abhakradalpana, about the gopis, Bhagavatam says, Govinda Abhakradalpana, they were stolen away by Krishna. Apakrata means they have been stolen away by Krishna. About Prahlada, what did it say? Govinda Parirambhida. Govinda has taken control of them. There is a slight difference there between Prahlada and the gopis. In gopis case, it mentions as Govinda Apakradalpana. In the Bhagavatam, in the case of Prahlada, it says Govinda Parirambhida. Krishna Graha Grihi is Alpa. When Krishna took control of Prahlada, Govinda Parirambhidaha. And here, the other one is Govinda Bhagradalpana, two things. But in reality, so here, Govinda has stolen their hearts. And therefore, some people, that you will see in the verse 9, they were locked up in the house. They were not allowed to leave. They were not allowed to leave. Andar griha gada kaschil gopyo labdhavi nirgamaha. Krishnam dadbhavana yukta dadhyurmili talochanaham. Andragrihagada kaschil. Then, because they were thinking about Krishna all the time, and their family members, husbands and others, when they decided, some of them, not all, some of them decided to stop the gopis going away. So what they did, they locked the doors and did not allow them to leave the house. Did not allow them to leave the house. So what happened? Krishnam dad bhavana yukta dadhyurmili talochanaha. Then there itself they sat there, closed their eyes and continuously thought about Krishna inside. Continuously thought about Krishna. You have to remember the state of gopis consciousness here. Gopis were not doing all these things on their own. It was just happening to them. There's a big difference there. Gopis are not planning things, okay, because he has locked my door, I'm going to sit here and do something different. No, it didn't happen. It happened to them that way. That spiritual connection, when the soul gets his connection with Krishna, this is what will happen. Soul's connection with Krishna is like that. Soul cannot separate itself from Krishna. When that relationship is established, as soon as they heard the sound of the flute, that's what has happened to them. Krishna's flute is famous, isn't it? Krishna's flute is famous. Gopis are the only people who knows that playing of the flute, Krishna's. That is why you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one chapter where Sukadeva Goswami says, he cannot make a comment about Krishna's playing flute. He says, I leave that to gopis to make their comment about it. Why? In his eyes, gopis are the only people who know about the flute. About the flute, Krishna's flute. Gopis talks about the flute. One gopi asks the flute, why are you so attached to Krishna? Why Krishna is so attached to you? This question happened once. Then why the flute is attached to Krishna? Krishna never drops the flute, isn't it? Always the flute is in the hand. If it is not in the hand, it is on the hip. Krishna puts it in the hip. So one gopis got very envious of the flute. Krishna has even left the gopis, but not the flute. Flute he never leaves. So gopi asked the flute, why is it like that? these all are spiritual things. This you have to understand the thought question behind it and the answer also behind it. That why Krishna never leaves the flute? The flute says to Gopi, because I am hollow inside. I am hollow inside. What does it mean? It means that so long as we are hollow, that means there is no false ego inside, Krishna will keep us with him. Moment there is false ego inside, we'll throw it, Krishna will throw us away. In fact, that's what has happened to the gopis also, isn't it? As soon as there was a very little false ego developed in their heart, Krishna left them in the forest and went away from there. You remember that in the Rasa dance, in the middle of the Rasa dance, Krishna left all the gopis and went away with Radharani. And at one point, when Krishna sends the false pride in Radharani, Krishna left Radharani also and went on his own. Flute is saying, I am hollow inside. I am hollow inside. In other words, there is no false ego inside me. That hollowness, we will say His Holiness, isn't it? There you have to say His Hollowness. That's the only difference. We say His Holiness, but there it is His Hollowness. His Hollowness is higher than His Holiness. Because it is hollow, Krishna is attracted. That is the stage we have to be. That ego has to go completely from inside. At the moment, even while performing sadhana, the ego will talk first. I've done 64 rounds today. I've done 192 today. That this is the ego inside us. That I am the doer. I am the doer. That hasn't even left us. And we are the ones who are talking about Gopi Bhava. Where is that possible? So you can see even the gopis had to learn from the flute. So great is that flute that is because andar griha gada kaschil gopyo labdha vinirgamaha krishnam dadbhavanayutam dadhyurmili talochanaham. That gopis' relationships was like that. They could not at any point in time that krishnam dadbhavanayutaha that they close their eyes when, if you are not identifying with the body, all the social customs in this world doesn't matter anymore. As long as you are identifying with the body, you are worried about the social norms in this world. What the society will think of me, what others will think of me, and you want to follow the rules of this world, is it not? So here, in this particular case, you can see that gopis have gone beyond all that. So there is in the next two verses, verse 10 and 11, why gopis had to go through this. That is what Sukadeva Goswami is talking about. In the next two verses, you will see there. In the 10th verse, he says that, dussaha preshta viraha tivratabadudha shubhaha dhyana prapta chuda ashlesha nirvrutya kshina mangalaha tam eva paramalpanam jara buddhya visangadaha jahur gunamayam deham sadyaha prakshina bandanaha. Those two verses is Sukadeva Goswami is telling us why gopis had to go through this. Why? That's the reason, explanation for that. Dusaha preshta viraha tivra tapa dutha shubhaha dhyana prapta achyuta ashlesha nirvrutya kshina mangalaha tameva paramalpanam jara buddhya visangadaha jahur gunamayam deham sadya prakshina bandanaha. So what happened to them? Then those gopis who were locked up inside, for them what happened was that due to the intense distress they felt at that time, not able to go, that because of that, at that time, Krishna gave them, appeared in their heart very strongly. When they closed their eyes and sat there, because they thought about Krishna to such an intensity, that although they were locked up, physically prevented from going from there, they closed their eyes and sat there, Krishna manifested inside in full, complete manifestation inside. And they felt that they were embracing Krishna inside. And due to that, they felt such an experience, intensity of happiness inside. All their sinful reactions were completely burned in that. immediately burned in that. Dusaha prashta viraha tivratapa dudha shubhaha dhyana prapta achyuta shlesha nirvrutya kshena mangalaha. Two things happened here. Due to separation from Krishna, unable to go to Krishna, they had felt that separation and intense distress inside due to that. By experiencing that distress, all their prarabdham of distress got burned in that. Their distress got burned in that. That they did not, lot of their distress got burned by feeling that distress in separation from Krishna. On the other hand, it says, Dhyana Prapta Achyuta Ashlesha Nirvrutya Kshena Mangala. When our account, credit and debit account, in other words, Pabam and Punyam, pious activity and sinful activity, both has to be finished here. That is when you say you have escaped from the grip of karma. Is it not? When you say you are free from karma, when all your sinful activities, reactions have gone, pious activities, reactions also has to be finished. We don't think like that, do we? We think we'll add our pious activity as much as possible, but you are still in the field of karma. You are not free from there yet. Escaping from karma means escaping from the results of pious activities, escaping from the results of sinful activities, both. So, sinful activities has to become zero, pious activities also come to zero, then that soul doesn't have anything to do with karma. It gets released from this karma mandalam, world of karma, that means this earth, from the earthly planet. This earth is the only place where karma holds us. Karma holds us. We think that we can free ourselves easily. No, even if you go into the higher planets, whatever you have accumulated here in the form of pious activities, based on the credit you carry with you, you can spend some time in the higher planet, but you have to come back here. After, when that is exhausted, you come back here. Similarly, when whatever sinful activities you have performed, all the sinful activities, so to suffer, you have to go to the hellish planets or Yamaraja's planet, wherever, and suffer in that situation and then come back here again. And here also, only in the human body, you are going through this thing called karma. Is it not? So, when you leave your body, till you are free from the karma, you cannot escape from the field of karma. You are stuck here in this karma mandalam, it is called. And that includes not only the earthly planet, the heavenly planets, the hellish planets, everything. Those three planetary systems together is our karma mandalam. We create karma here. To enjoy pious activity, we go to the heavenly planets. To suffer the hellish activities, we go to the results of sinful activities, we have to go to the hellish planets. Depending on what kind of sinful activity we have done, either we may have be downgraded into the lower species. Into the lower species, to the animals, plants, body, things like that. But after finishing all that, we'll come back to the human body again. But still, you're not free from karma yet. Karma vasana is still there. Karma has to go. So that's why it is mentioned here that what they have to become zero on both account, on the credit and the debit side, both on the on the pious activity as well as in the sinful activity, they had to become zero. So therefore, that happened to them in this way. That it mentions here, Andragrahagada Kashal Gopyo Alabdhavinirgamaha Krishnam Dad Bhavana Yuktam Tadhirmili Talochanaha Dusaha Prashtaviraha Tivratabaduda Shubhaha. That separation from Krishna was very unbearable for them. They were suffering from that. And what else? Dhyana Prapta Achyuta Ashlesha Nirvrutya Kshena Mangalaha. Their pious activity results also got nullified when they associated with Krishna within the heart. Within the heart. So that is what is explained there. So here you can see that all of them, when you experience distress, the good thing is your sinful reactions gets exhausted. Sinful reactions gets exhausted. If you know this law, that when distress comes, that you can feel peaceful with that, when distress comes in life. So, in life, when unbearable misery comes, in life, unbearable, we have to know at that time, these are nothing but the reactions of what I have done or what I have accumulated before. And for that reactions, the natural way of atonement is through this distress. Like our sinful reactions, whatever we have performed before, material nature is giving us this sinful reaction in this way, and that way wiping out wiping out their bank account of the distress side, distress aspect of it. So therefore intelligent person who knows about that, they should not try to remove the distress. Rather accept that distress in that way and tolerate that distress. All the great devotees, jnanis, they do this. When the distress comes, that's what they do. Because they have realization, they have knowledge, they understand things in the right way. We are thinking, as soon as we get sick, we should have everything, best treatment, best everything, so that I can do some devotional service. Isn't it? That's how we understand. That it is not like that. That the principle is this, that if it can be tolerated, that distress in the body or the distress in the mind, it is better to tolerate and live with that, so that way a lot of the sinful reactions will be wiped out through that distress. Possibly you can postpone it for a while, but distress has not finished. It will come back in another form later, if not today, some other time. So that is the principle. So that is why it says in spiritual life it is like that. Sahanam sarva dukkhanam apradigara purvagam chinda vilaparahidam sa tidiksha idigadhyade. That tidiksha, one quality what we talk about, isn't it? Spiritual life is all about tidiksha, tidiksha we say. Tidiksha vakkaruniga suhrada sarvasehinam ajada shatrava shanda sadhava sadhubhushana. If sadhu is that person who tolerates everything. And this tolerating is like this. That sahanam sarva dukkhanam, whatever distress comes in life, tolerate it, not to cry about it. That is tidiksha. Sahanam sarva dukkhanam, how apradigara purvagam, not with a mood of revenge, that oh, he has done that to me, I'll teach him a lesson. That mood, that is apradigaram. Pradigaram means to be revengeful. So tolerate everything. Sahanam sarva dukkhanam apradigara purvagam. Apradigara purvagam means that no revenge inside. Chinda vilaparehidam. Chinda vilaparehidam. Not lamenting about it. Oh, this has happened to me in my life. What am I going to do? How am I going to suffer? Not analyzing in that way. Rather accepting that Krishna has put me through this situation. My sinful reactions are getting burned out. And I'll get released from this karma mandalam very easily. That is why. So if we go through the distress, in that way, sinful reactions will get easily removed from us. The result of our sinful activities. Suppose you have temporarily found a solution for your sinful reactions. The sinful reaction has not gone away. You can only postpone it temporarily. You cannot get rid of it. Sinful reaction. So, and that will come at some point again as going back as a block in your spiritual advancement. So, for them, for these gopis, separation from Krishna was the greatest distress for them. Isn't it? And therefore, that distress, what they have felt, it took the form of a fire and started burning all their vasanas inside. Papa vasana. Papa vasana means the vasanas that they had through their sinful activities. Whatever that was there, that was also burned. Sukadeva Goswami is saying there, dusaha prashta viraha tivratapa dutha shubhaha. That's what it means. That all the papa vasana inside, or sinful vasanas inside what they had, they were all got burned. Because in separation from Krishna, they experienced that distress, and that distress got burned everything. And now there is the other side, the punyam, or the pious side of it. So, suppose all your sinful reactions have gone. That's not the end of the story. Then you have got the other rope, which is your pious activity. That will come to tie it down. So, both of them won't allow you to go back to Krishna. So both of them won't allow you to go back to Krishna. So only one who is released from both pious activities as well as from the sinful activities, they can go back to Krishna. They can go back to Krishna. So once it so happened, a great Mathadhipati, that he was in charge of a math. He was in charge of a math. So he was very realized. He had no attraction or attachment to anything in this world. He didn't consider, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Samaloshtashma Kanchana. For him, gold, the earth, everything was in the same level due to realization of the soul, self-realization. So once it so happened that one of the birthday, his devotees in the mud said that they want to arrange a proper function to honor him. So he told them that bring a lot of gold also, he said, gold coins, and shower me with gold coins, he said, so that at least at that moment, if there is anything to my credit, pious activities, those benefit also, let that get established, get extinguished here in this present state. This is how he instructed them. Because both pāpam, sinful thing, and puṇyam, pious activity, you have to experience to get rid of that, to finish with that. So, so in other words, when do we know that it is extinguished, it is completely gone? When the asakti means attachment, for that goes away completely from inside, then you will know that. That is how you know whether pious activities and sinful activities are all gone. Dhyana, that's what he mentions there in the 10th verse. He says there, isn't it? Dhyana praptam, Dhyana praptam, Krishna says, dusaha prashta viraha tivrata abadudha shubhaha dhyana prapt achyuda shlesha nirvrutya kshina mangalaha. See that word, kshina mangalaha. What does kshina mangala means? Pious activity, credit of the pious activity, that also has to be burned, and pious of sinful activity also has to be burned. That is the first line. Dusaha prashta viraha tivrata abadudha shubhaha dhyana prapta achyuda shlesha nirvrutya kshina mangalaha. So they lost their sinful reactions by doing the separation from Krishna, and though by embracing Krishna within the heart, unable to go and able to embrace Krishna within the heart, all their pious activities also they got exhausted by due to the feeling of separation from Krishna, viraha, dusaha, unable to bear that, dusaha prashta viraha, and the intense distress they felt at that time, they couldn't go, because when they were stopped from going by their family members, husbands or brothers or parents, whoever, where they stopped the gopis from going to Krishna. So those gopis who were locked up like that, dusaha prashta viraha tivratavadudha shubha. What happened to them? They felt intense separation from Krishna, and in that distress, they wiped out all their sinful sinful activities account got wiped out in that way. Then, dhyana prapta achyuda ashlesha nirvrutya kshina mangala. When they felt that separation from Krishna, Krishna appeared within the heart, and they felt that they were embraced by Krishna inside their heart. Dhyanam prapta achyuda. Achyuda appeared inside in dhyanam, in meditation. Ashlesha. And they got embraced by Krishna inside the heart. They felt, what happened to them? Nirvrutyo kshina mangalaha. All their pious activities account was closed because of the association with Krishna inside the heart. So you can see that verse, why it's so important. It's saying to us that the gopis, this is also teaching us the tattvam behind it. Tattvam is this. In a story through the gopis it's spoken like this, but the tattvam side it is this, that till you get rid of the papam and punyam, pious activity and sinful activity, completely freed from that, there is no freedom from this world of karma. There is no freedom from the, how deep it is. You remember in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna took 6 chapters to talk about karma. And at the very end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that there are 5 things which is related. What are they? Jiva, Maya, Prakriti, and Karmam is one of them. Ishvara and Karmam. And Karmam is out of the 5 things, one entity which is holding us together here. We cannot escape from here. No rocket, nothing will work to get out of this place. Or any kind of mechanical arrangements, we cannot free ourselves from this world. Out of these 5 things, Maya, Prakriti, Jiva, Ishvara and Karmam. 5 things Krishna talks about that, isn't it? In that, karmam is one of the powerful forces there. Until we get our accounts sorted out here, of the pious activity and sinful activity, when that is all become zero, then you can free yourself from the control of the karmam. That's what it is mentioned like that here. So here, so in order that to happen, the asakti has to go, attachment has to go from here. So in the meditation itself, other gopis have gone and seen Krishna. And how these gopis who are locked up, they were thinking, if anybody has gone back to Krishna, how they must have engaged with Krishna. And Krishna will be associating with those gopis who had gone there. And they were thinking about Krishna, being touched by Krishna, and they experienced immense happiness inside because of the association with Krishna. Sometimes you can see that happiness, what you will experience in this world outside, lot more you can experience in your sankalpam. Some happiness, some kind of happiness in this world, what you can actually experience here in this world, a lot more you can experience in your imagination. In your imagination. So, the happiness what you get in imagination, you can't have it in this world outside. Isn't it? Because by the time happiness come to this world, already senses have come over there. And senses are very much limited. So, according to their sankalpam, according to their imaginations, their punyam and papam both got reduced. Both got reduced. And normally punyam and papam, that means our sinful reactions and pious reaction activities, both of them will bind us to this world. And in their case, what happened? Both punyam and papam, pious activity and sinful activity, both of them got completely exhausted. So these are the 2 ropes by which we are tied to this world. How does karmam tie us to this world? Through these 2 ropes. One karmam comes, gives us some pious results. Another karmam gives us some sinful results. Both of them are 2 ropes through which it ties us down. So, pious activity and sinful activity. So, just like he says here, and the Manikya Vachaka talks about that like this, he says here that Maya, what she has done to us, what she has done is 2 ropes they have given, which are very difficult to break. One is punyam, another one is papam, sinful activity and pious activity. So, she ties us down with these 2 ropes, and just like in this body, suppose we have no skin, what will happen? The birds will come and start eating us, wouldn't they? When they see our flesh and when they see our blood and when they see all the other things, what they will like to eat, they will find in us that once this skin goes away. Now it's nicely covered with the skin and the hair, everything, so the birds thinking they can't get it, so they don't come to us. But normally that's what, because inside it is such a filth, inside the skin everything is filth, there it is, isn't it? So, and so many disgusting things, and here everything is covered up And what is Krishna, Brahma done? Brahma covered everything with this skin like a wrapper. You see in the airport, when you want to take certain things, you go to the airport, there is one machine there with the plastic foil. They'll cover up the whole thing. They charge you some 5 or 7 pounds for that. And if you feel that your luggage is not protected well, you take it there, they cover it up, isn't it? Some plastic wrapper business, they wrap it up with that. Similarly, Brahma created us and they wrapped it up with the skin all around so that the garbage inside will not come out. But what he did was, he poked into it some 9 holes at 9 different places. 2 here, 2 here, on size, 2 here, 1 here, another 2 at the bottom. So, like this 9 holes, he poked into this body and created these 9 holes. And 5 senses in there. And all through these 9 holes, the filth is flowing out. I'm talking about ourselves. The filth is flowing out through these 9 holes. 5 senses. And added to all these things, inside is, he has packed one more interesting thing, like a monkey inside, the thing called mind. This is what we are identifying very, very happily and with very great pride, I am this. And this identification is with this, what Brahma has done. He has done this and he has poked these 9 holes into it and 5 senses, and all of them together is cheating the soul inside. Is cheating the souls inside. And mind is compared to a monkey. The nature of the mind is like a monkey, always moving. Chanchalam, isn't it? Chanchalam himana Krishna. That nature. And then, after doing all these things, he has given this instrument as a mind and telling us, now you engage in bhakti. This is the most interesting thing. After giving this a body like this, you have to know your own limitations. We all have limitations in this body. We are given a body like this, all garbage or filth packed very well and then wrapped it up with the skin and put 9 holes into it and gave one thing called this mind inside, who is like a monkey, and telling us, now you do bhakti to me. You engage in bhakti, he says. Kaliya spoke that very well to Krishna. Krishna couldn't answer that. You know what Kaliya said? After Kaliya was, Krishna subdued Kaliya, all the dancing, everything happened. Kaliya vomited everything, blood and everything came out. And Kaliya's wives came and glorified Krishna, Nagapatnis. And then Kaliya came up and says to Krishna, that you keep saying surrender to me, but you have given me a body like this, which is full of ignorance. And then you are asking me to surrender. So is it my fault or is it your fault? Krishna didn't answer that question. In the Kaliya dance, you will see this. What can we do? We have been given a body like this, full of problems. Beginning to end, it is problem. Plus, it is demanding so many things. It's asking for food, it's asking for sleep, and various other desires inside. The mind is constantly changing and never satisfied with anything, making new plans and arrangements. Added to that, it has got these 9 holes through which the filth is flowing. You have to make sure it doesn't become openly create problems to anybody else. Constantly tap and looking after this body in that way, and then says to us, execute bhakti now. So how is that possible? That's the question, isn't it? So this is the state of the jiva. And jiva, inside this, we are sitting there inside this. And a mind which is like a monkey, behaving also like that. So what did Krishna do? Krishna says, this is Manikavajaya's statement. He said this in there, that Krishna came here, he addresses to Shiva this one, but doesn't matter. He says, you came here and showed your beautiful feet in front of me. And when you showed it to me, I got attracted to that somehow. And I decided, at that point, that this mind which is like a monkey, and I know with this mind, it is not possible to chant, or it's not possible to engage in meditation, or pranayamam, or everything, nothing is possible. But, when you came here, and you showed your form to me, I got attracted. And that is what is that fourth verse you will see there. Nishamya gidam tadananga vardhanam vrajastriya krishna grihita manasam. Though, exactly in the same way, in the gopis case also, When they heard the flute, what happened to them? Nishamya geetam tad anangavardhanam. Look at the each word very carefully. Nishamya geetam tad anangavardhanam. Nishamya geetam means when they heard that sound of the flute, what happened to them? Tad anangavardhanam. Anangam means freedom from the body. That happened to them. Freedom from the body happened to them. Nishamya geetam tad anangavardhanam. That influence of the body, angam means parts of this body, identification with body, they have escaped from that. That nishamya vrajastriya krishna grihita manasa, krishna grihita manasa, that is what has Krishna has done to them. So when that happens, what happens there, mentions there, then so when our chittam, consciousness, turns towards Krishna, only thing, the reason why we are unable to become Krishna conscious is these two things, punyam and pavam, pious and sinful activities. Both of them, the gopis, it has gone away from them. And what happened to them at that time? That is what it says. Paramalpanam jarabuddhya sangadaha. Look at that verse, they say. Paramalpanam, that tameva paramalpanam jarabuddhya abhi sangadaha. Jagur gunamayam deham sadhya prakshina bandhanaha. So, tameva paramalpanam. Look at this. Upanishad's knowledge is Gopi is doing this now. Tameva paramalpanam jarabuddhya abhi sangadaha. That when their pabam and punyam, pious and sinful activities, became reduced, minimized, that sangadaha, tameva paramalpanam jarabuddhya sangadaha. That they realize is that the person to whom they are going is the Paramatma. So, absolute truth, supreme, super soul, Paramatma, and Nitya Shuddha Vastu. Shuddha Vastu means it's pure. It is pure. And Sarva Andaryami, Sarva Shaktaha. But all that things they kept away for the moment, and exactly like a woman who has got a connection with a jaram, that means not in the proper way, not with a husband, but with a lover outside. Sangadaha jahur gunamayam deham sadhya prakshina bandhanaham. Jahur gunamayam deham sadhya prakshina bandhinaham. So, what have they given up here? That is the question. These verses are nothing but the Upanishad's knowledge spoken in a way so that people will read and think about it. That's why it's spoken in this way. Jahur gunamayam deham sadhya prakshina bandhanaha. Gunamayam deham, gunamaya deham. Gunamaya deham means, you can say like this, externally they have given up their body. That is also gunamayam. This gross body is also three modes of material nature, isn't it? Sushma shariram, the subtle body also, if you give up, you can be in the gross body, but the subtle body is gone. That, what does that mean? That means you are liberated in that state, isn't it? So, basically, what Sukadeva Goswami is saying here is, that both pavam, pious activity and sinful activity has completely gone. That means, they are in the liberated state while within the body. That is their present state, Jivan Mukta state, as they call. Jivan Mukta state means this, that inside vasanas have all gone, karma is all finished. Like the coconut, when it is fully dry, the inside core loses its connection with the shell, isn't it? You have seen that, haven't you? If you haven't seen, you go to VB's and buy one. They sell there. The shell is there, and inside, the pulp, that pulp has become so dry, it loses its connection with the shell. If you shake it, it will make the ta-ta-ta-ta-ta noise. It will make that noise, isn't it? That is the way a liberated soul is. When liberation happens, he is within the body, still he is within the shell, but there is no connection with the shell anymore. There is no connection with the shell anymore. Liberate, that is this ideal example in the Upanishad of a coconut shell and the coconut inside. Upanishad's example is this, of a liberated soul. He has lost its connection with the body anymore. It's not in the body anymore. But body still remain. Why? prarabdham is not over. He has to wait till the prarabdham is finished. Because when you come, we have brought this body, this is what is called prarabdha shariram, isn't it? Prarabdham has to run out. Till that time, material nature will keep this body going. Somehow it will stay. It has to stay. So, that is what is mentioned in here, that gunamayam, gunamaya deham. Gunamaya deham means this material body is this gross body, and the subtle body is finished. There is no subtle body in is finished. So, that is when they have experienced that state of consciousness, what they experienced at that point. Only then, they sadhya prachina mangalaha, Krishna says there, isn't it? Achilashesha nirvurtya chena mangalaha, and tameva paramatmanam. See those words, what Krishna has used there. So, Sudeva Goswami says, tameva paramatmanam jarabuddhya abhisangadaha jaho gunamayam deham sadhya prachina bandhanaha. Sadhya prachina bandhanaha. Bandhanam. Bandhanam is what we are at the moment, isn't it? In bondage. Bondage is there, liberation is there. So, sadhya prachina bandhanaha, the bondage is over for them at that state. Bondage is over. Normally, people don't think about all these things in the Bhagavatam, what Krishna has spoken, what Shiva Brahmarshi has spoken about. They are just thinking that, oh, gopis, oh, they were great devotees. And Krishna invited them and they went for the rasa dance and they had a great time together. And I understood the whole story, they say. But what is Krishna, what is Shiva Brahmarshi is telling us is some high Upanishad principles. That is the tattvam. Krishna tattvam is coming through these five chapters. Krishna's position. And when you understand that, you will not see anymore any of the wrong things what the public is perceiving in the rasa dance. Rather, you will see the higher principle of Krishna consciousness or bondage and liberation in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, that's why it's mentioned here. Tameva paramatmanam jarabuddhyabhi sangadaha jahur gunamayam deham sadhya prachina bandhanaha. Jahur gunamayam deham. Deham, material body, is three modes of material nature. Isn't it? Sattvam, rajasa, tamasa. That is this body, gross body. So, jahur gunamayam deham. Those who have stayed there in the house, they, most of them left their gross body there and they left, went away. Sadhya prachina bandhanaha. Bondage was over for them. Why? Because in the subtle body, all the karma vasana has gone. Karma vasana was completely gone from there. And sadhya prachina bandhanaha. Sadhya prachina bandhanaha. So, in other words, what does it mean? This means a lot more than that. What it means is that the bondage was over. They are fully liberated in that state. In the Vedantam, when it is spoken, they will say, Tripudi has gone. Tripudi. You may have heard this word before, Tripudi. We talked about this in the Bhagavad Gita also. Tripudi means, you know where Vedic philosophy differ from other religions. All other religions will talk about three things. What are they? Jiva, us, God, and the world. Is it not? Us, we, the individual, the Jiva, Ishvara or God, and then the world. Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat. They call it as Jiva, Ishvara and Jagat. Every other religion you look in this world, they will basically talk about these three things. All of them. They'll tell you are there, heavens or the higher world, God is there up there, and the world is there. These three things. When these three things are finished, that's when liberation is talked about in the Bhagavatam. When all the three things becomes one, Jiva, Ishvara and Jagat, these three things are called in Shastram as Tripudi. Tripudi they call it. When Tripudi goes, then you know the truth. The truth is only one. That's Krishna. That's the only truth. These are Krishna's expansions in different forms. World is an expansion of Krishna. We are expansions of Krishna. And Krishna is also there. But when everything, these three exist, three identity, entities goes away, only Krishna exists. That is when we say Tripudi has gone. That's when Tripudi has gone. So Tripudi has gone and only Krishna remains. Only Krishna remains. Now, when we talk about Krishna, you have to understand the tattvam behind it. Krishna means that pure consciousness, awareness in us, aham aham inside us, അഹം ആത്മഗുണാകേശ സർവഭൂതാശയ സ്ഥിത ദാറ്റ് അഹം അവയർനെസ് ഓഫ് അസ് അഹം കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് ദാറ്റ് എക്സിസ്റ്റ് ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് എക്സിസ്റ്റ് ആസ് വൺ നോട്ട്സ് എ സെപ്പറേറ്റ്ലി സോ ദാറ്റ് വെൻ ത്രിപുടി ഹാസ് ഗോൺ അവേ ഫ്രം എ പേഴ്സൺ ഇൻ ഹിം എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് ഓഫ് ദ സോൾ ഈസ് മസ്റ്റ് ഹാപ്പൻ ഹി ഈസ് ഇൻ എ റിയലൈസ്ഡ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് our knowledge of himself, his identity. He is not thinking anymore in terms of the body. That is important thing. At the moment we are thinking in terms of the body, everything, isn't it? But when Tripudi goes away, that means Jiva, Ishwara and Jagat, when that three things goes away from us, what will happen to us? What will happen is that Swarupa Jnanam, our Swarupam, we have our pure identity as spirit, spirit soul. Spiritual identity comes back to us. Spiritual identity comes back to us. So, immediately at that point, all those who were locked up, they were fully liberated from there. And those who are not, those gopis who were released were not locked up, they have gone back to Krishna. So, they were not listening to anybody and they were going to Krishna. Padisutanvaya bradri bandhava adivilangyadondi achyudagadaha. Gopi sings this in the Gopiya Gita. You will see if you study Gopiya Gita, which is the 31st chapter, I think, or 32nd, something like that, 31 or 32. Third chapter, Gopiya Gita. Gopi sings, and that is their realization they are singing there. Their realization, which is 31st chapter, first 31 chapter. That is Gopi's realization. Everything is pure Vedanta philosophy. Only thing is, it is spoken and packaged in this way to tell us the Upanishad's knowledge. Gopis are saying there that Patisutanvaya Bhradrabandhava Adivilangedon Achuda Gadaha. That where is the husband? Where is the children? Where is all our brothers and sisters and all our relatives? Why? Adivilangedon Achuda Gadaha. All of them are there because you are there. Only because Krishna is present in all those bodies. They have become my relative, they have become my father, they have become my mother, or brother, or sister, or whatever relationships. If you are not there, what is the relationship I have got with them? That is a very important point, isn't it? Our relationship with everybody in this world is only because Krishna is present in them. That is why this relationship has come. Suppose Krishna is not there, what relationship have we got with them? So practically you can see, relationship is with Krishna, not with the individual body. Individual body. Whereas in ignorance we identify with the body and think that body is our relationship. Oh, is my brother, sister, this, that and the other. We identify falsely. Vedantam is teaching us this principle. Remember this? Yajnavalkya Maharshi and Maitreyi. Maitreyi, she says to Maitreyi, Maitreyi, where is the relationship in this world? Every relationship in this world is through Krishna, the relationship is. Not through the body. Real relationship is through Krishna. Krishna means the soul. Through the soul is a relationship, not through the body. That's why they were saying here, Gopi, Patisudha Anvaya Bhradra Bandhava Adivilangyadin Achyuda Gadaham Gadgidastavod. Saying this, they are going to Krishna. This is their answer to Krishna. Krishna initially tried to encourage them to go back home, to test what their understanding is about their own spiritual knowledge, spiritual realization. So they told gopis, Krishna says to the gopis, you go back now, you got your husband, you got your family, you have to look after them. And gopis' reply is like this, that Patisudhanvaya Bhradra Bandhava Adivilangyadendya Chuda Gadaha. Remember what a realized state gopis were to answer in that way to Krishna. They are answering Krishna that husband exists because you exist. Wife exists because you exist. Children exist because you exist in them. And so-called all the relatives also exist because you are existing. Otherwise, where is it? Where is the relationship? They were asking this question. So, in other words, gopi state of realization is like a sannyasi state. Sannyasi is supposed to be in that state. So, when on that particular day, rasa dance was going to happen. Krishna played the flute and the gopis arrived there. Yamuna river was looking beautiful, not like the way Yamuna is now, the way it is today. And Krishna is playing the flute, inviting gopis to come. And in the Bhagavadam, you will see there that that Krishna is playing flute, that with a very special verse, gopis talk about that. One verse completely to talk about Krishna's playing flute. In the Bhagavatam, you will notice that. So Krishna is standing there. Barha pidam nadavaravabhu karnayo karnigaram bibhradvasa kanaka kabisham vajayanti injamalam Rendran Venu Rathara Sudhayoho Purayan Goba Vrindai Vrindaranyam Sopadaramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. This verse in the Bhagavadam is about Krishna playing the flute, standing there and playing the flute. Srimad Bhagavadam, when Sukadeva Goswami heard Bhagavadam from Vedavyasa Maharshi first time, there were two verses which attracted particularly Sukadeva Goswami's attention. And one of those verses is this one, that when Krishna was playing the flute and gopis talking about that Krishna's form at that time, the beauty of Krishna, Krishna's beauty while playing the flute, Krishna's beauty, that beauty Sukadeva Goswami portrayed in that one verse, Barhavidam. Barhavidam, that one particular verse is all about Krishna's beauty. Just discussing Krishna's beauty, Gopi spoke that verse. And because of that, that form of Krishna with that peacock feather and yellow garment, holding the flute in the hand with the crown and garland of forest flowers, Barhabidam, if you look at Krishna at that time, it will appear as though Krishna is dressed up to play a particular actor in a drama. Just like actors, they dress up like anything, isn't it? When they have to act in a movie or a drama, they dress up well for that particular role. Similarly, Krishna was so dressed up. Barha pidam nadavaravabhu karnayo karnigaram. Karnigara flowers in both the ears. Krishna had karnigara flowers in both the ears, like the women have their eardrops. Similarly, Krishna had eardrops as Karnigara flowers. Barha bidam nadavaravabhu karnayo karnigaram bibhradvasa kanaka kavisham vajayanti injamalam vajayanti mala, which was made of yellow flowers, vajayanti flowers, yellow flowers, bibhradvasam kanaka kavisham vajayanti injamalam vajayanti mala, and also a matching pidambaram, yellow garment, also Krishna was wearing. Rendran Venu Rathara Sudhayoham, and the flute through which has so many holes, and through that Krishna's saliva is dropping through that into the flute. Purayam Goba Vrindai Vrindaranyam, and with that playing that flute, Krishna wandered around in the forest of Vrindavanam. Vrindaranyam Subhadaramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. That at that time, gopis were enjoying that association with Krishna in that way. And you will see there that Govinda, that parabhakti state, gopis were experiencing at that state, and they are seeing Krishna in that form in front of them. And that is also known as the parabhakti state, what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam. And this parabhakti state, what the devotees are experiencing, is the same thing what jnanis calls it as jivanmukta state. There is no difference in there. Jivanmukta state, jnanis realize or reach that state while within this body, is the same state the gopis are experiencing in this parabhakti state. In other words, what has happened to them, that they have freed themselves from what is called upadhi dosham. Upadhi dosham means body, mind, senses, intelligence, these are all our upadhi. Upadhi is a dosham. Upadhi is a defect in us. This is not our real identity. This body, mind, intelligence and all is not our real identity. So when you get freed from the body and the mind and the intelligence and the ego, that means you are freed from the upadhi dosham. Upadhi dosham it's called. The upadhi dosha means the disease or whatever you call it. This upadhi is a disease, what we have got now. Freedom from that. Freedom from the mind, from the body, from the intelligence, ego, everything. So, at that stage, Swarupajnanam. Swarupajnanam means once you have realized what you are, a spiritual identity, it will give him freedom from this upadhi. But Swaruparadhi may not happen at that stage. You see, sometimes what happens, you can see in the Bhagavatam, it explains that also, that due to spiritual realization, you have come out of the body. You have come out of the body from all the upadhi. But you come to your what is known as Swarupam. Swarupam. You come to your Swarupam, spiritual identity. In that spiritual identity, continuous experience of that bliss of your spiritual identity, which is known as Swarupa Rati. Rati. Rati is the word, it is used in the Bhagavatam. You will see that word coming later on in the Bhagavatam. Uddhava says to Krishna, give me that Rati. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam later on, you will see Uddhava saying to Krishna, give me the Rati, he says. Rati means continuous experience of that bliss in that state. In that state. Swarupa Rati. So, Swarupam or your spiritual identity, that happens, it is called in Bhagavatam, another word used is Pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna, you will see this in the prayers of so many studi or glorifications, you will see that word Pratyabhijna. So, Pratyabhijna will come, and Pratyabhijna means Swarupasthiti. Swarupasthiti, you come to your Swarupam state. And sometimes what happens is, that you have come to the realized state and still it can happen that Pratyabhijna, how to explain that is that at the moment we identification with the body is very strong in us, isn't it? We don't know anything different than the body. But suppose, imagine that you have freed yourself from the body, but there will be some identification somewhere, is it not? You have to identify with something. That pure consciousness or pure knowledge or chit shakti or whatever, the soul, jivan mukta state, there also identity with the body has gone somehow. It has left. But even though identity has gone, that state is called Pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means you have started seeing your identity properly. Identity properly. I think we'll stop there. It's 11:30. We have to leave at 12, isn't it? So, okay. We'll continue tomorrow. It takes time. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Dinadhyatma Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.